using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday the 28th of June, year of our Lord 2024. Well, today we're going to do an autopsy on these two puppets. What an amazing display, wasn't it? And how irrelevant it was. Not only a display, everybody's talking about Biden, but it was both of them. And it was the fact that they didn't want to address any serious issues. Of course, none are ever asked in these debates. Nobody talks about the impending threat of bird flu. Are they going to do more lockdowns, more jabs, more debt? A lot of finger pointing. No solution. Oh, the war wouldn't have happened with me. Well, okay, well, it's there. What are you going to do about it? No answer. So we're going to talk about that. And we've got some interesting clips. It's actually more entertaining than I thought. I wound up getting drawn into the debacle. We'll be right back. Yeah, it is amazing to watch this. And of course, the mainstream press, especially the Democratic press, is all talking about, how do we replace Biden? Well, you know, my response when I looked at all this thing was just so trivial, so petty, so irrelevant, everything they talked about. And, you know, Trump came across much better, of course, than Biden did. But not if he goes up against somebody else. That's why the Democrats are working so hard to try to find somebody else. I think we could say about both of them.
You fire.
Yeah.
Oh, will you shut up?
You fire. Yeah, you fired. Okay, that was my response to the whole thing. I just, it all looked like that exactly to me. But of course, the New York Post and their post debate, and this is up on, Drudge put this cover up. Just sad. President mumbles, stumbles, freezes in train wreck debate versus Trump. We've witnessed the end of Biden's presidency, they say. And that picture that they've got up there of him is actually, it was worse than that. As I watched this thing, he was constantly, looking around. And I thought he was going to wander off stage because he always turned, not a full 90 degrees, yeah, but more than 45, let's say 50, 60 degrees, he was turned over to the side, away from Trump. It's not like he was looking at Trump. I don't know what he was looking at. It's just like what we saw at G7. Everybody said, well, that was fake news. That was manipulated, all the rest of the stuff. No, it wasn't. And everybody could see it yesterday. So, again, with these debates, they never ask anything of any substance. And as always, a lot of finger pointing, just two guys there like that. You just need to show up. The problem is that Joe didn't show up. He never made it there. And that's the issue with Trump. He had nothing to say, but he did show up. Biden didn't even show up. Whenever CNN put him up on the split screen, he had a 1,000-yard stare, says New York Post. And that was the other thing that was interesting, I thought. CNN left it that way most of the time. I guess the idea was that you could see if the other guy was trying to yell, there wasn't any point in doing that. They'd already set it up. So the microphones were muted. They were very directional. They were separated physically on the stage quite a bit. There was no audience. I mean, everything was set up to try to tamp down Trump. And actually, that helped him. Remember, the big criticism of him was how he just wouldn't shut up. How he was constantly talking over Biden and that type of thing. So that actually worked to Trump's advantage by splitting those things apart. As New York Post said, Biden didn't look old. Biden looked ancient. Biden looked empty. Because when it was his time to answer, he was incoherent. He said things like, he beat Medicaid, whatever that is supposed to mean. Asked about abortion, he randomly started talking about migrant crime. I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence, said Trump. He noted at one point, he says, I don't think he knows what he said either. We started watching this last night. I was finished with the news. I did catch up on the, we had the matching fundraiser on Wednesday. And I was exhausted on Wednesday. I went to bed earlier than I usually do, so I didn't have the update on it. So we've got the update on it today. And I want to thank everybody so much. We were just past 50%, and we're now up to 80%. We moved it up to 75% because it's closer to that than it is to 5/8. You know, it's 5 points above that mark, but it's 7.5 points below the other one. But thank you so much, everyone. I wanted to get that through and see really where we stood and give everybody an update here at the end of the month. But so I was sitting there doing that and listening to the debate, and it took me a long time because I just got drawn into this. It's like, what? My son was there. Whistler, who's doing the board, Travis is in Texas, and Karen was there, and it was just unbelievable from the very beginning. And it's like none of this is this is one of his worst nights. The administration can't say that it's a cheap fake, says the New York Post. The sound you heard last night was Democratic operatives everywhere screaming at their televisions, or maybe it was everybody else laughing. The entire world laughing at this display. Remember I said yesterday, Reason Magazine said, you know, if this is really, really bad, and it was really, really bad. It wasn't just Biden. It was really bad and irrelevant. And as I'm watching these statements about how this guy was going to fix the world, save the world from COVID, he's also going to save the world from inflation, he's going to save the world from the Russians or the Afghans or what, everything in the world that you can imagine. It's all on the shoulders of the presidency because we want it there. And we want to pretend that it's all something that they do. And we do hold these guys responsible, except for MAGA. They don't want to hold Trump responsible for anything that happened in 2020. And the MAGA press doesn't want to hold him responsible for his attempts at gun control by executive order through the bump stock, through the pistol brace, which he did put in and then removed when he got pushback from them. And then Biden put it back in because he'd set up that precedent. They don't want to talk about any of that. They don't want to talk about the fact that he said, you know, just they got to get the shots. Measles, it's really going around. They got to get the shots, shutting down religious and medical exemptions. They don't care about any of that stuff. So with the exception of the MAGA delusion, okay, everybody holds the president responsible for everything. They're not responsible for everything, and they don't get credit for everything. They always like to talk about jobs that they created. They haven't created a single job except in the bureaucracy. They created a lot of jobs there, unfortunately. Parasitic jobs. They're a burden for the rest of us to have to pay for. But when it comes to the other things, if they get out of the way, the economy starts to recover. And that's something that's the optimism, the hard work, the investment of individual businesses, mom and pop businesses. You know, the ones that were non-essential that Trump said when he tried to put Main Street out of business for the benefit of Wall Street. Remember that? I sure do. I hope you don't forget it. I'm going to keep reminding you. But, you know, when you look at all of this, this whole idea of the managerial mistake is what it is. You know, Biden said, well, I had to get those machines in there. We got those machines in there. We got those tests, all this stuff. I did this. I did that. Micromanaging to the nth degree, everything in the world. What an absurd idea that is. Even if we had somebody who was intelligent, we don't have somebody who's intelligent there. And these guys are not the ones in charge. But the ones who are in charge, this cartel that is behind these two empty suit puppets that we saw yesterday, they're not up to the job either. Nobody is. Central planners have always failed. It doesn't matter if it's Stalin or Mao or Hitler, they always fail. And it isn't going to be different because they're American. It's not going to be different because they're CIA bureaucrats or because they're Defense Department bureaucrats or because they're EPA bureaucrats. They can't plan the world. They can't fix even their own lives, let alone ours. And so I think that's one of the best takeaways. The fact that this pretense that we have this all-powerful benevolent, hopefully, dictator, running a managerial state, an empire, global empire. What a farce. What a farce. At the very least, you got to realize these people are not the ones running the show, okay? So, Drudge, we got to get somebody up that is more credible in terms of being the managerial executive of this global empire we call the United States. Operation Replace Biden. Democrats scramble with 130 days to go. A debate catastrophe. It's plenty of time. It's plenty of time for them to replace him. And this is all over the place. As a matter of fact, a Drudge poll, we'll show you what the Drudge poll said this morning about who should replace. New York Post said, Biden can't survive this. It is political malpractice to let him continue to run for re-election. It is national malpractice to let him continue. Biden spent an entire week preparing for this debate. He did. Nobody saw him for a week. This is the best he could do. And that should terrify everyone. But only if you believe in the myth of the omnipotent state. Only if you believe that we should have an omnipotent, omniscious, omnipresent president. I don't believe any of that stuff. I don't see government as God. I think it's good for people to see that the emperors have no clothes. The pseudo-emperors. Now, we still haven't seen who the people are running this show. We got glimpses of it with the report about how the CIA was coming after Trump. Nobody asked about that. Nobody asked anything about any of that. So all the way through this, I did this, I did that. I got those machines to people. It's just ridiculous. I managed the inflation. Or then, I didn't do it, he did it, right? If it's bad. I didn't do it, he did it. And so, Biden is, Trump, very early on, started talking about the vaccine and then how bad it was that Biden mandated it. He took the line that MAGA has used to excuse what Trump did. For the longest time, he's bragged about how many people he killed. As a matter of fact, there was an interesting, somebody sent me a link to a video that was on Twitter. Tucker Carlson went down to Australia. Some guy there was talking to him about the vaccines or something like that. And Tucker just starts laughing at him. It's like, you still believe in this stuff? You're like the last Japanese soldier fighting on that island who doesn't know the war is over. Well, maybe it's because you didn't tell people, Tucker. Maybe you should have told people how bad this stuff was when it was happening. If the war is over, it's no thanks to you, Tucker Carlson. You took tens of millions of dollars for years, and you covered that stuff up, and you have the audacity to laugh at this guy? You're part of the reason that he is so benighted in all of this stuff. Again, it's supposedly the mandate. Trump's not bragging about the lives that he saved, but he's pointing the finger at Biden's mandate. And so Biden defends that, and the very next question is about abortion. Neither one of them want to say, wait a minute, what about this my body, my choice thing? Did you do that with the vaccines? No. Did you do that with the lockdowns, Trump? No. Did you do that with the mask mandates and the social distancing, Trump? No, it wasn't my body, my choice. I couldn't choose. My mask, I had to wear my mask because my mask was protecting other people, you know. Just like I had to get the vaccine under Biden then, because it was my vaccine that was protecting other people, not me. My vaccine doesn't protect me. It protects other people. My mask doesn't protect me. It protects other people. This is the way that they sold this vaccine fantasy in terms of getting up to 90 shots for kids at an early age. It's always sold under that lie. Well, your vaccine doesn't protect you. Other people's vaccine protects them. This herd immunity lie for the cattle that are foolish enough to believe that stuff. But again, they don't want to talk about, oh, no, they got to do that. But then they don't want to talk about my body, my choice with the vaccines, but they do want to talk about that. And Trump, that's okay. It's going to be overturned. And we got a lot of states that do their own thing, and some of them are going to kill babies, and some of them aren't going to kill babies. So it's just fine. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's all going to be fine. It's now at the states, and so he says that's the way it ought to be. Except that's not really what he's been saying. He's been on every side of this issue. He took credit for Dobbs, which overturned Roe v. Wade. Then he said, now we need to make it a federal law and relax the restrictions because some of these states are too restrictive. So now we need to refederalize it. Now he's back to, well, let's have this be done at the various states. And nowhere does he talk about the 10th Amendment, of course. I don't think Trump has ever read the 10th Amendment. These people ask him questions about the Bible that he's hawking. What's your favorite passage? Well, I can't say. That's really just too private. Are you an Old Testament or New Testament guy? Well, I can't say. People ought to ask him, what's your favorite Bill of Rights out of 10 of them, right? These people want to talk about the 10 Commandments. Why don't you first, since you're in government, why don't you first talk about the 10 Bill of Rights? Because you put people in the Supreme Court like Amy Coney Barrett who can't even remember what's in the first one and she just shut it down this week. They don't know them. They don't care. Not even the Supreme Court appointments that you put in know or care anything about the Bill of Rights. And you don't know or care anything about them either. Even when you're talking about Dobbs, you don't really understand what's going on with it or care. It was all about him. Boy, you want to see him get mad? You watch what he does. I mean, he couldn't get over the fact that Biden brought up that quote about how General Kelly said that Trump had dissed soldiers and, people at funerals and people disabled. And Trump was so angry. Oh, it was fake. I fired him and all this, and just kept coming back to that at least, I think, three times. Deeply wounded narcissist, incapable of acting except in his own self-interest or out of revenge. And so this is sent to me by a listener, Timo Malum, who has a timomalum.com. He said, I published a couple of these things before. He said, I published this article put up on the site before the debate and talking about how this is just bread and circuses, and nobody's going to ask the important questions. And he put out a bunch of important questions. He said, I'd like to get your take on it. What do you think about these questions? What do you think about some other questions that are not going to be asked? And then he said, after the debate, I followed up on how the party sacrificed Joe Biden tonight. I agree. I think that was a setup. As a matter of fact, Gerald Celente is going to be joining us later in the program. His Trends Journal cover this week was America Falls. And it's got about five or six pictures of Joe Biden stumbling and going down. He knew that was going to happen. And he said a long time ago, he said, oh, they're going to replace him. They're going to replace him before the convention. So we'll talk to him today now that this stuff has happened. By the way, if you want to subscribe to Trends Journal, just use the code NIGHT when you go to trendsjournal.com. And you can save 10%. Off of a subscription. Does it weekly. Excellent job. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that he's picked up on it this week. But this is from Timo Malum, M-A-L-U-M. Bread and circuses, he said. The presidential debate is a distraction from reality. It always is. You know, the point that I stopped watching it was when they got into golf. And they started arguing about who had the better golf score. That's how unbelievably irrelevant this was. Here's this exchange.
That I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way, and I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter, but I'm in as good a shape as I was years ago. I feel very good. I feel the same. But I was willing to take a cognitive test. And you know what? If I didn't do well, I aced him. Dr. Ronny Jackson, who's a great guy when he was White House doctor. And then I took another one, a similar one. And both, one of them said they'd never seen anybody ace him.
Thank you. President Biden?
You can see he is 6'5" and only 223 pounds.
or 20, 35 pounds.
He doesn't know. He can't
Well, he's 6'4", 200.
Whatever.
Anyway, just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And well, by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was at 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8. But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
Let's not act like children.
Yeah, they are acting like children, aren't they? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, tell us about your last fishing trip. How big a fish did you catch? I mean, these guys are going to argue over their golf scores. The managerial state, this omnipotent empire being run by one of these stable geniuses. Because, you know, hey, I'm not subpar. I aced my mental test. Yeah, really. It was so bad that, as I said, the whole world is laughing. Here's a couple of twins out of Australia who, and it's good that they did it with twins because, you know, Biden and Trump are more like each other than they are different from each other. And you may think that they're very old, but they just acted like a couple of five-year-olds, didn't they? Maybe that's what happens. You know, we have this arc in our life. It's kind of like the cave, you know, that Fauci always talks about. And at the very beginning, there's not much that's happening mentally with us. And, you know, we can't even control our own bowels. And then I guess as we get on the other side of the curve, it comes back again. And we start to euthanize. not in the EU, but we in the sense that they used it in the play. What was it? Camelot. Yeah, talked about Merlin. He said, I keep getting younger all the time. Well, I guess that's what's going on with Trump. You know, he's just like Merlin the magician. He's euthanizing. He's not euthanizing. He's euthanizing. And so these two guys are twins. They're in Australia. And they're, let's see, where is that? They are, I've got the thing here, Shep mates, so they call themselves. Describe themselves as twins down under. Everybody in the world is laughing at this. And these two guys are playing the recording of Trump and Biden, and they are lip syncing to it. Watch this.
I'm in very good health. I just won 2 club championships, not even senior, 2 regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter.
Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And well, by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
The biggest lie that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was at 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8. But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
Let's not act like children.
Yeah, you realize we're acting like children. The other guy still doesn't even realize that they're acting like children. So, yeah, the whole world is laughing. They're laughing down under. Young people laughing at this even. Look. We've been sold the idea that Washington Cannon should do everything, and that's the good news about this debate. That should be gone. Now, this is what Tebow Malum said. He said, well, try some of these, and he's got about 20 different questions. I won't read all of them to you. But he goes, watch this. He put this out before the debate. He said, look and see how many of these issues were discussed. What about Israel's influence over American politics, including AIPAC lobbying? How about efforts to back away from a nuclear war with Russia and or China? How about an honest discussion about injuries and deaths related to COVID vaccines? How about admission that the CIA, DOJ, FBI, on and on and on, that these and other agencies need to be reorganized or eliminated? Yeah. Yeah, the real government treason. How about the Constitution? Ask them a Coney Barrett thing. Can you, President Biden, can you recite the different parts of the First Amendment? Or you just recite the First Amendment for us and tell us why you think those things are in there. And how is it that it doesn't apply to social media or to January the 6th or any of these other things like that? Yeah, that would have been a good question. CBDCs, not going to be talked about. Are digital IDs or the World Health Organization's control over domestic public health policies? Or what are they going to do to fix the southern border? They do a lot of finger pointing, but no fixes. Instead, you know, it's just...
You fire! You fire! You fire!
Oh, will you shut up?
Hey. You fire!
Yeah, that's what it is. So he says, I bet you can think of even more than I can. But, yeah, how about pledging never again to do martial law and just leave the martial part out of it, because that's what they are doing anyway. And one, when he talked about how they threw Biden under the bus, pull this up and show, he went through and he got about 9 different headlines from mainstream media. And they all jumped on. I showed you the Drudge Report. But here, NBC News. Babbling and hoarse, Biden's debate performance sends Democrats into a panic. Washington Examiner. Liberals panic about Biden's decline. Newsweek. Deep panic among Democrats after Biden's debate performance, CNN says. Politico. Biden is toast. Calling it now. Biden stumbles and rambles in opening of debate. Biden's early debate performance could send Democrats into full-blown panic, says Raw Story. A disaster so far, says USA Today. Biden freezing on stage during the debate draws fire on social media. Business Insider. The first debate was a complete disaster for Biden. Daily Beast. Joe Biden mumbles and stumbles the Democrats into crisis. Mediaite. Deep, wide, and very aggressive panic, says CNN's John King. Dems may ask Biden to step aside. Well, there you go. That's it. All of them. All the big mainstream political people out there. After the debate, the news media, says Timo, talking heads all cried together with fake concern about Biden's performance. The after-debate chatter was planned in advance. They let him go on, knowing that it would be a train wreck. And of course they did. They know what these people are like. I mean, just look at how bad this is. The beginning of the debate.
Care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID. Excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That was the beginning. Here's how it ended. Look at this.
Trump walking off the stage.
So President Trump walks off the stage.
The 2024 campaign.
They zoomed in to show this. Look at this.
In the books,
Biden is frozen. Jill comes up to try to help him get off because he's not moving. And then there's somebody. You got the Steadicam guy there. You got another guy that's with CNN. He walks over to keep sticking his hand out. Can I help you get down these two steps?
From inside both campaigns with me here, CNN political commentator Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. Frozen at the beginning. Frozen at the end. Again, you know, this is, we don't do this to mock somebody. That's the future that waits for all of us if we live long enough. But look, he's not up for the job. And this is a job that nobody can do. The job that we have imagined the presidency being is a job that no one can or should do. So, they had to know. They had to know that he was in this kind of condition. As a matter of fact, listen to this exchange after the debate with Lala Harris. This is Anderson Cooper trying to say, well, you work with him on a daily basis. Did you know that he was this bad?
I got the point that you're making about a 1.5-hour debate tonight. I'm talking about 3.5 years of performance in work that has been historic.
But
whether
is that
it be
the man,
infrastructure,
the man who we
the former
saw on
guy,
the stage
the other
tonight,
guy,
is that
the other
person
guy
you see
on the
in
debate
meetings every
stage,
day?
The person that you saw on the debate stage that has, for the last 3.5 years, up until today, performed in a way that has been about whether it be in the Oval Office.
Yeah, you're going to try to use Lala Harris? That just shows how mentally bankrupt the Biden people are, that they would have Lala Harris running cover for him. Doesn't it? Yeah. You know, here's the interesting thing, as many people are pointing out. They knew this. They let this debate happen. And just look at the dates and the quantity of debates that they set up for this. This is a very, very early first debate. First time in my knowledge that they have had a debate before the convention, because they rigged everything, right? They rigged it so there wouldn't be any primaries. Both of them had to rig the primary. So the next debate is going to be September the 10th, the second and final debate. When is the DNC convention going to be? Just about less than two weeks before that. So on August the 19th, about 2 weeks, in Chicago is when they'll have the DNC convention. Then about 2 weeks later, they'll have the final debate. Now, compare that to the last two presidential elections, 2016 and 2020. In 2016 and 2020, the final debate was very late in October. Why is that? Because they had three debates, and the first debate happened a couple of weeks after the scheduling of this final, or the second debate this year. So the second debate is going to be taking place on September the 10th this year. The first debate in 2016 was on September 26th, 2 weeks later. In 2020, the first debate was September the 29th, but they're going to do the second and final debate September the 10th. They do a debate in June. We're not even into July yet. To do a debate 3 months earlier, and a couple of months before the convention, they were planning this all along. Just look at the debate dates. And of course, in 2020, they had, in 2016, they had three debates, and they had a vice presidential debate. The second debate was canceled in 2020 over claims of COVID and all the rest of this stuff. But they knew this was going to happen. They were planning it for a very long time. And you had Gavin Newsom was also there. He wanted to be able to meet the press after this disaster and show everybody how groomed he is. And so the question put up by Drudge on the Drudge poll was, who should replace Biden? Not if, but who? Not if, but who? And interestingly enough, other was the top vote getter at 39.6%. Let's say 40%. Number two was Gavin Nuisance. He was at 24%, 23.6, 24%. Then Lala Harris at 14%. Hillary at 13%. And then Gretchen Whitmer at 10. Those are the choices that Drudge put up. Nuisance, Lala, Hillary, and Gretchen Witch. Witchmer. And then other, which I guess is Big Mike. And it's going around on Twitter. This guy has a parody account, folks. People took it seriously. They said, look at what CNN did. I would have played it for you, but he's got a profanity there, which is a dead giveaway that it was a fake. But he did a pretty good job of faking it, you know, putting himself up as if he was some kind of an expert that's been brought on to talk about polls. And he says, look at this, before the debate and after the debate, they hadn't taken any polls at that point in time. And he says, Trump is so far ahead, I don't think even Big Mike, Michelle Obama could do anything. And everybody's like, look, CNN called Michelle Obama Big Mike. It was a parody account. It was a parody account, folks. but Gavin Newsom was there, Gavin Nuisance, to play nice. And what he said was that Biden won the debate on substance. And when I saw that, I asked Karen, I said, which substance was Biden on? Or what is Gavin Nuisance on to say something like that? He said, to me, it was daylight and darkness. I care about substance, said Nuisance. This is not about style. Style? I didn't realize that senility was a style that was, or petulant narcissist is a style. I guess, Biden not only asserted himself, he reminded people of his accomplishments and his vision for the future. As he gazed off to the left where nobody was standing constantly. In the spin room, Newsom ignored shouted questions from the reporters. about whether or not he should consider replacing Biden. Newsom said, Nuisance, you don't turn your back because of one performance. Performance. It's a performance, right? It's a performance. It's like, and it is. It is. These guys are performing for you. They're not going to be asked any serious questions. A lot of people put up stuff on Twitter, you know, and it was CNN panel. Somebody said, you know, Biden knew every one of those questions was going to be asked, and why didn't he do this or that? And people said, see, they gave him the answers. Maybe they did, but if you need to know what questions are going to ask at this point in time, maybe you need to get a different profession. I mean, if the political experts around Biden don't know what questions he was going to be asked, certainly we know that we can rule out anything of any substance, anything that really affects our lives. And there's quite a few things that are going to be obvious because they're always the same questions that are asked every time around. I don't think that that person had a Freudian slip saying that they'd given him the questions. They could have. This happened in the past. You had Donna Brazile at CNN was giving questions to Hillary Clinton, but I don't think that was what they were talking about. Nevertheless, you don't turn your back on somebody because of one performance. One performance. And it reminds me of Alex's divorce when his lawyer said, he's just a performance artist. You know, that's not who he really is. And he said, you wouldn't judge Jack Nicholson by the role that he played as the Joker. And it's not fair to judge Alex by the roles that he plays either. So, yeah. A lot of role-playing going on, but anyway, what kind of party is this? They would turn their back on somebody because of a bad performance. He said, talking about replacing Biden is, quote, unhelpful to our democracy. Well, it's unhelpful to his planning for the future. He says, we've got to focus on tomorrow. We've got to focus on the future. We've got to focus on the convention, where I get to be the good, supportive guy until I kick the old man off the stage. Then they're going to acclaim me. He's going to be the friendly, supportive Gavin Nuisance so that he can be put in. It remains to be seen what's going to happen with this, but who it'll be. We've got a pretty short list there. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I had some questions about some of the policies. It weren't really talked about. Also, a comment I thought was pretty interesting from Handy. He is in Atlanta, where CNN is, and they were having some riots that were there. And I'm going to take your comments. I had a lot of comments, and if you want to comment on this, please do. I'll go back and get these comments as soon as we return. But I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. And well, let's begin with comments here. North American House Hippo, thank you very much for the tip. He says, The David Knight Show is made possible thanks to a grant from HonestDavesClimateCredits.com, your home on the internet for satirical feel-good climate credits. And thanks to the generous support of viewers like you. Thank you. Well, thank you. That's good. That's North American House Hippo is from Canada, and he's escaped that, and I'll have to look that up. That's great. Spromford, thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate that. He says, God bless you, Mr. Knight. Here's to our illusion of choice between two bowls of feces that merely look and smell differently. Yeah, that's right. DG8, thank you for the tip. He says, David, thanks for being real. Will the evangelicals still stand with Trump after he's bragging about his weak stance on abortion? Disgusted. Yeah. Look, he's going to run away from everything. He's a New York Democrat liberal, as corrupt as they come. Pal of the Clintons, pal of Epstein and all the rest. He doesn't care about anything that any conservatives or evangelicals care about. It's all a game for him. And he's going to run away from this stuff. We'll talk here about the climate stuff, which I think was the best thing out of the first 3 years of his administration. Fourth year, not a thing. Not a thing. Benedict Donald. Prior to that, it was like, okay, you know, it's another one of these politicians who gets in and does exactly the opposite of what he's going to say. I've never seen anything like 2020, though. And it laid the foundation for all the stuff that Biden was doing. Even the mandates. The mandates broke down into two different areas, folks. There was a military mandate, which, as Jason Barker has pointed out, he was in the military. He, you know, paying close attention to that. He caught that before I did, because he was in the military and he's fighting this stuff. And he knew that it was going to kick in September. I knew it was going to kick in September. That was when they were going to approve it. But he said, you know, as soon as it's approved by the FDA, they're going to kick this stuff in. Trump had already agreed to do that. And so he just handed off the baton in this professional wrestling exhibit to Trump to do that. So, you know, he set this up and passed it off to the next guy. And it's a very convenient thing for, because they can both say that they didn't do this, they didn't do that. They can all claim plausible deniability, but it is a bipartisan attack on all of us. Brian Deb McCartney said, I didn't watch the pre-planned debased. Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, normally when I do prep, I've got some music on in the background as I'm arranging and printing the stuff and everything. This was very distracting. It kept me up later last night than I wanted to be kept up. It was like a car accident. You know, when you have a car accident, everybody's in single file going past it. You don't want to look at it, you know. You don't want to get, you don't want to see it, but you don't want to get drawn into that stuff, and you don't want to run into the guy in front of you. So you're hoping the guy in back of you is not looking at it either. But it was. It was a car wreck. Actually, a big train wreck, really. The Democrat train. You have to laugh about that. B-Slice, good morning. A day of mourning with a U for Democrat political hacks. Really just a sad time for the country, though. Yeah, I was going back to see if Carville had made a statement yet. He's really embarrassing himself now. James Carville was saying not too long ago, he says, I don't even think Trump's going to show up, you know. It's like, well, I think Biden didn't show up. Marky Mark in New Jersey, thank you for the tip. He says, Dems will tap Michelle Obama. Not only does she check all the boxes, she'll totally pull the women's vote. Women will be like, OMG, we have our first woman POTUS. It'll be historic. M.O. for the win. Yeah, Michelle Obama. And see, that's the thing, right? They've got a long time now. And most previous years, when they had primaries, which they shut down, just think about what's happened in the last 4 years, 2020 on. They don't even bother to do primaries and debates anymore. And that began in 2020 with all the so-called COVID nonsense. They just stopped all debates and all the rest of the stuff, really, for all practical purposes. No rallies, any of this kind of stuff. And they completely shut down the primary process this time. Never seen anything like that before. They've always controlled the ballot very tightly. and make sure that nobody runs unless they're in the Democrat or Republican primaries. But they would have some debates. These two guys, Biden and Trump, didn't want to have that, and they didn't have it. As a matter of fact, in places like Florida, the Biden people even made sure that nobody else was going to be on the ballot. Forget about just shutting down the debates. Shut down the ballot to other Democrats. They've never done that type of thing before. And so typically in an election year, they're still fighting over who the nominee is. Usually at this point, it's multiple people are still running, and it could be one or two people, that type of thing. No, this is, and so they're not late in terms of finding somebody else to run. They've got another 6 weeks or so that they can decide who they're going to put in at convention. And we're operating under completely different rules now. They're not even pretending that they have an election. They used to always pretend that it was a democracy, even though it's supposed to be a republic. Yeah, that was the other thing. James Carville, a couple of months ago, when people started talking about it being a republic and not a democracy, I guess, you know, he's another one of these people who doesn't care to read the Constitution or any of the historical documents. Why are the F these people talking about? It's a democracy. It's not some kind of republic. What's the matter with these Trump people? You know, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay. what's the matter with you? Nothing matters to him except raw power and money. So anyway, the progress retort. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Most glaring omission from the commentary surrounding Biden's failures last night. We're talking heads questioning his candidacy. I didn't watch their commentary last night. Skipped right over his current ability to lead as we glide towards World War III. That's right. Yeah, that's the amazing thing. The most amazing thing about the Gulf thing is they're arguing back and forth over Afghanistan, and they get in, well, because Afghanistan was botched, that encouraged Putin to go in and so forth. That was Trump's line. I could have stopped all this stuff. And so they're talking obliquely about World War III. And then it gets into their health and golf prowess and all the rest of this stuff. And it's like, this is just unbelievable. These people are completely detached from reality. And so are their supporters and the mainstream media. Octospook, I watched the debate from therealdebate.com. That was where RFK Jr. dubbed himself into the debate and actually was relevant. RFK Jr. clearly won the debate last night. Yeah, I did not watch that. I just clicked on it this morning to see what it was. What he did was clever because CNN was threatening to sue anybody that redid the broadcast and commented on it. But Elon Musk said, bring it on. This is a public service thing, and I'm going to let you take it over. And that was the very first thing I saw him answer the first question, RFK Jr. And he said, we're doing this on Twitter. So if you go to therealdebate.com, that's a link to the post that he put up on Twitter. And what they did was, I was curious to see how they were going to do it. Cause he said, due to the miracle of modern technology or something, I thought, are they going to green screen him in? Cause they've got the two podiums of Biden and Trump pretty far apart. So I was looking at that and I thought, are they going to green screen him in there? That would be kind of weird, but, you could pull it off if you had the proper equipment. Look at what they do with the NFL games and things like that, where they put the, they mark where the line of scrimmage is and show where they've got to go for the first down, all that kind of stuff. And they put it in perspective like it's on the grass. I know that's a pretty, maybe that's a proprietary thing that they've done because it's pretty impressive. They could do something like that. They absolutely could. Even as CNN is changing angles and maybe pulling back or maybe doing a dolly shot in or something like that, they could still do that type of thing if they had the right tech. But he went simpler. What they did was they had on one side, they had a monitor that showed the CNN feed. And then they had John Stossel there as a moderator. And then they had a podium that RFK Jr. was standing behind, which was just like the podium that the two clowns had. And so they would, because everything was highly structured, 2 minutes on, then you blink the other person out, and then the other person talks. So because there wasn't going to be any interaction between these guys, and there wasn't, except for facial expressions, or the lack of facial expressions, or the lack of awareness as to what was, where he even was on the part of Biden. So because of these clean breaks, and because there's no over-talking and everything, it worked out pretty good. So what they did was they gave him 2 minutes, and in his first comment, he was talking about why they were doing the debate. He didn't really respond to the first question, and he ran out of time. And John Stossel said, all right, you know, that according to the rules, and we said we're going to play by their rules, you're out of time. And he says, I understand it's your feed, so you should be able to talk a little bit longer. But we said we're going to play it by the rules, so we're going to play it by the rules. But in it, he said, this is the first time that a corporation has taken it over. Now, he portrayed it as the fact that the debates were always run by independent third parties, and that's not really true. The Presidential Debate Commission is not an independent third party. The Presidential Debate Commission is a creature of the Democrat and Republican Party, and it is tightly controlled. And it is that type of thing that is setting up the rules. They use that as a beard. We saw that at the state level. Back in the 90s, back in the early 90s, before they, well, you know, they, and after we were, I was involved with it, with debates and things like that, they had the debate where Ross Perot was in. But prior to that, at least at the state level, the debates were supposedly run by the North Carolina Association of Journalists, or whatever the press name was for that association. And so supposedly it was a private organization, and this private organization could censor whoever they wish. And if you qualify for the ballot, and there's only three people who are qualified for the ballot in North Carolina, well, the journalists could decide they didn't want to hear from you, and they could censor you. See, that's why it was pretty clear to me what was going on with all the social media censorship from the very beginning. The North Carolina journalists were just in it to suck up to the Democrats and Republicans in the state. But anyway, other than the fact that he got that wrong, other than the fact that it has been controlled by the Democrat and Republican Party, the debate process, for a very long time, he was right in the sense that CNN had a lot more say and terms in this than ever before, and how they had put all kinds of rules and restrictions on the broadcast, and Elon Musk said, well, let them sue me, I don't care. I'm going to let people put this up and comment on it live if they wish. And so it's under those terms. That's why he put it on Twitter on X, was so that he could do this debate. And I said from the very beginning, there's no way that I was going to ever support RFK Jr. He's wrong on so many fundamental existential issues, but at least he would bring those existential issues up. And he did point out the fact that the inflation that we're suffering from is because of the actions of both Trump and Biden in terms of this so-called pandemic. He came after them over the vaccines and other things like that. And it's good to have that third voice in there. He would not have been arguing, I think, with him about doing who has a better golf score or whatever. That's absurd. But anyway, Junk Silver. Last night's debate was just another humiliation ritual for this declining republic, I'd say empire at this point. We crossed the Rubicon a long time ago. Octo Spook, a cardboard cutout of Biden with Obama speaking for it would have been better for Biden. Maybe they did do that. It would explain Biden's 1,000-yard stare. Yeah, Handy. Hey, good to see you there, Handy. I haven't talked about your email yet. I will get to it. Handy says, or maybe they're setting up Biden for a switcheroo. Interesting game of tic-tac-toe. Yeah. Alan J78. Notice Trump called it a therapy, not a vaccine. Well, I missed that. I missed that. Well, there you go. The therapy. Divided states. Biden at least responded to some of the debate questions. We know where he stands on major issues like the climate hoax and abortion. Trump refuses to even address America on these questions. That's right. They asked, kept asking him. She asked him 3 times if he would accept the results of the election. And he kind of got an answer on the third one, but that was at the point where I was turning it off anyway. But yeah, he was, well, let me just say this first. You know, I fired that guy who insulted me made up that fake quote about the military. He said, yeah, it's a, it was that type of thing from Trump. He's constantly dodging the question. Divided States says Trump will be twice the dictator Biden is. Dark Winter 3.0 is coming. Mark my words, Trump will lead the charge. I agree. Yeah, nobody's going to talk about shutting that down. M. Sellers, if they insert the right charismatic candidate, they could potentially pull from both parties and have a win. Yeah. Divided States, imagine replacing Biden with someone with a record like Nuisance. Gavin Nuisance. North American House Hippo. Americans, and just for the record, I'm not American. I just live here. I have no more control over this BS than Cubans or North Koreans or Chinese have over their ruling regimes. That's right. We might as well argue about who's going to replace Klaus Schwab as president of the World Economic Forum. You're fooling yourself if you think that you're going to have any influence on them. You can have influence, some influence, at the local level in the elections. You can have more influence at the local level doing other things, but you can, that's an important thing to pay attention to. That's why I keep telling everybody that. I'm not, you know, just, you know, cynically laughing about the absurdity of all this. Let's be realistic. Let's understand that even George Soros and Elon Musk know that all politics is local, that it is a fool's errand to focus on the presidency, and that's why they get everybody focused on the presidency. So I like Goy. Trump's self-aggrandizing manner of speech is hilarious. He has no self-awareness. That's right. Syrian girl, has this ever happened before? Has half of the Uniparty had to scramble at the last minute to replace their only candidate a few months before the federal election? Not in my lifetime, but I guess, you know, when we go back and we look at LBJ, in Chicago, it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to win election. So that would be the closest that we ever came to that, where they switched, at that point in time. Little Ford Schoolhouse. I can't imagine anyone would be sitting there watching, was proud of that. Yeah. Steve Swan, mass murderer Trump will be back in office. I think so. I think they want him back in. It's a tactic, you know, you do this, it's a two-step. And I think with everything that is, everything that's been teed up, all the multi-crises that they have teed up everywhere, whether it's financial, political, geopolitical wars, you name it, with all that stuff teed up, they would love to have somebody as clueless, as stupid, as corrupt as Trump in. He will follow orders. Again, he wants to act in his own self-interest, but as I was pointing out yesterday, he doesn't even know what's in his self-interest, or else he is so under their thumb that he puts people like Gina Haspel in charge. So regardless of what he's doing, they'll be able to put him, and they will be able to then blame everything that comes crashing down on Trump and on the populist movement. And I think that's happening across Western civilization. Yes, people are very angry about what is happening, but I look at it and I say, it's a trap. Admiral Akbar. I think we ought to go and take this opportunity. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But when you look at what Macron is doing, and we look at what Rishi Sunak is doing, and they're on the other side. I mean, you know, Sunak could be calling this election so that he can get out of the way and let the oncoming freight train hit the Labor Party. But I think a lot of these people like Macron and others, they want to get out of the way and let this freight train hit their opposition and permanently discredit them. It gives them an opportunity to have to claim that they didn't have anything to do with it, just as you saw last night. And so I think that's a big part of it. And I think that is one reason why they want Trump in there. Look, they all know, just as you and I know, that all of this lawfare against Trump was for his own benefit. Look at the phenomenal money that he got. It allowed him to completely skip the primaries. He got an unbelievable amount of money. He's able to portray himself as a victim. It was a setup by the people in charge, the Uniparty behind all of this. Brian Taylor, if Trump thinks the vax is so good, why does he think it was bad to mandate it? Yeah, exactly. He didn't talk about that. He didn't talk about why a mandate would be bad, you know, in and of itself. That's where all the problems came. Yeah, nobody would have gotten myocarditis or died from anything else if it hadn't been for the mandate. Syrian girl, LOL, they'll end up with more mail-ins than registered votes. No worries about a small turnout. Yeah, he was, he set that up as a Trump precedent. And you notice that they've never done anything to change any of it. As a matter of fact, they've now embraced it. And they're going to do it better than the other guys did it. She says, so Trump hit the ball further than a lot of rich old billionaires at his golf club. What an athlete. And, yeah, anybody want to fact check his claims about golf? Either one of their claims about golf? Biden said he had a handicap of 6 or something. I think he's got more handicaps than that. Brian Deb McCartney. They're both handicapped. Yeah. A Syrian girl, both parts of the Union Party screwed themselves when they eliminated all potential candidates early on in favor of these two jokers. Except I think they kind of did it honestly. Octospook said, I honestly believe if Trump ever debated RFK Jr., it might be all over for Trump. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing is, like I said, RFK is right on some issues. He's horribly wrong on some other issues. When you look at what he is, where he is on war, Gerald Celente left him. When you look at where he is on abortion, no way that I would ever support somebody like that. You look even at the free speech issue. Oh, he's been censored quite a bit, so he's against that. And yet he's lied to us about that statement where he wanted to lock up people who disagreed with him about the pseudoscience of climate alarmism. You can't be honest about that. There's so many different issues. He is a radical, always has been, a radical, dangerous person when it comes to climate. And they can get us on any of these MacGuffins. He's always been as lunatic as these people who are spraying Stonehenge orange. You go back and look at his history. It's crazy. Troy Larman, this is elder abuse. Biden should be in a nursing home with a blanket on his lap. Waiting for ice cream time. Yeah, that's what Rush Limbaugh said. And the first time around, he said, I blame Jill for this, the spectacle humiliating him. Guard Goldsmith, good to see you, Guard. Liberty Conspiracy. How about those substantive questions last night? Very enlightening. Yeah. Wild Niagara, this debate was an advantage to anybody who was excluded from it. One tweet pointed out this was the earliest debate in U.S. history, likely designed to call for the replacement of Biden now. That's what I was saying before, and I think that's exactly right. Never had, you know, at this point in time, usually it's down to, you know, a couple of candidates. And there's one person who's way out ahead, but there's still somebody else that could be there. They might be talking about, well, there might be a mutiny at the convention, and the number two guy, even though he's quite a bit behind in delegates, none of that stuff. They didn't bother with any primaries or anything like that. They did this early so they can do a replacement at the convention. Nancy Chambers, anybody think the purpose of the debate was to give the Dems an excuse to replace Biden without upsetting the base? Yeah. Little John, Biden would still be standing there if she hadn't taken him off. Yeah. Guard Goldsmith, Trump cares less about human life than he does about his golf swing, evidently. Mm-hmm. I want them on the links with Rodney Dangerfield. He'd be a great commentator. He says, I prefer the conversations between Maxwell Smart and Chief and the cone of silence. Yeah, exactly right. Well, before we take a break, I want to read what Handy sent last night. He said, just want to check in and say hello. The debates are causing a big snarl in EMS operations here this evening. He's in Atlanta, where CNN is. We've been told to stay away from hospitals that are inside the perimeter because of the debate in Atlanta. And there was a lot of back and forth police there, and some people got rowdy and started throwing stuff as well. He said, an update with his friend who has endocarditis. He said, open heart surgery, valve replacement, and repair is still not recovering well. Still no stamina at all, only 30% cardiac function, and still can't gain weight. He's more than 60 pounds less than he was in January. I believe without a doubt that the jab has done this to him, but he still doesn't appear to know what happened. He's believing the doctors rather than the obvious cause and effect. They tell him that a steroid for back pain lowered his immune system, causing a rare heart infection. You know, it is sad. It really is sad. And Karen was just telling me that she was in a store. She talked to a clerk, and they were talking, and this clerk's husband died, she said, of COVID. And Karen immediately figured it was the jab. It didn't say that. You can't say that to people. But she said, did he get the vaccine? She says, yes, can you believe it? And he still died. He had these horrible blood clots in his legs and all from COVID, right? Yeah. No, it was a shot. Can't see that. People can't see that, even after the fact. Why doesn't she see that? Because of the censorship that is there. They have done such an amazing job of censorship and propaganda. And that is the thing that keeps me going. You know, I don't know. I've got a small microphone here, but I have to say something about it. I see it. I have to say something about it. I can't address it to these people. It only piles grief and stress on them. But, you know, to try to warn people, because they're going to pull it again. No doubt about it. It already started in Finland. They have no pretended cases of bird flu, and yet they've got a vaccine, and they're going to start vaccinating people. You've got New York papers are already telling people it's time to get your COVID shot. See, it's exactly the same, and it was, from the very beginning, exactly the same scam that they did every year with the flu shot. Every year. And your vaccine doesn't protect you, it protects other people, that type of stuff. But every year, got to get that flu shot thing. They always ran it the same way. Always lying about statistics, scaring everybody, and always not a snowball's chance in hell that they even have identified anything to vaccinate you. They would say every year, well, we got all these different strains of flu, but we've already prepared this particular one. We had to manufacture that months in advance, so we just guessed which one it was going to be this year. Oh, and I'm supposed to pretend that you guessed right? No, they don't have anything at all. Anyway, Handy goes on to say, the waters are pretty muddy these days regarding jab injuries. If you do enough digging, you'll find that a lot of the ailments didn't begin until after the jabs are taken. There just doesn't seem to be as many people taking the jabs, so acute jab injuries have slowed. The injuries are just getting a bit more difficult to trace back as more time passes, especially when the jab works like a time bomb in some people. As always, this is just my personal experience. And of course, that's been the difficulty for the longest time. And I mentioned that probably the closest we'd ever had of these time bombs going off was back in Scandinavia. I forget now. I think it was Norway. Norway or Sweden, and it was one of the previous rodeos of Fauci and Moncef Slaoui. The two of them put together Pandemrics, and I think it was in 2009 with that supposed flu epidemic. And that jab caused a bunch of kids in that country to have narcolepsy, catalepsy, and the country did the study, and they admitted it because they're not under the thumb of these big corporations like our corrupt government is. But even in the young canaries in the coal mine, because they have a faster metabolism than older people do, and it's pretty clear, it took a year for that to show up. And now, more than a decade later, a lot of these kids are committing suicide because they can't do anything. They may freeze up or they may fall asleep. They can't drive a car. They can't do anything. It's destroyed their lives. And a lot of them, in despair, have committed suicide. Andy says, P.S., on a more personal note, I'll be riding my motorcycle to Wyoming in a week or so for a two-week vacation. My girlfriend wants to visit friends and take a couple of weeks, experience some of Wyoming. She's flying. I'm riding. I may die in a horrific plane crash someday, but I'll have to be because their aim was good enough to hit me from above. The point is, I'll try to take some good pictures and share somehow. And as a matter of fact, I've got an update on Real ID and the requirements for people to travel that we'll be coming back to. I'm going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Well, thank you, Doug Alug. Thank you for the tip. And he thanks us. Thank you, though. And I got this. I wanted to read this to people because this is something that I see frequently, comments from people. Dear David, my subscription on Subscribestar was canceled, and the last payment was March of 23. I will keep an eye on it from now on to make sure the MacGuffin doesn't pull any shenanigans. I have restored my subscription and will make up my monthly amount from April 2023 to now. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for all you do. Benny and Temple Terrace. Well, thank you. That's very kind. And, you know, I just wanted to let people know that on Subscribestar, they don't tell you for whatever reason when your credit card that you gave them changes or something like that. They just stop it and they don't send an email. I've seen this email we got from Benny many times, and it's really kind of strange. You would think that they would do that, but they don't. So if you are a supporter on Subscribestar, you may want to check that. Temple Terrace, I actually played golf there, since we're talking about golf. One of the one or two times in my life that I played golf was in Temple Terrace. That's the funny thing. I'm probably worse at golf than either of these two guys. Cincy 1M, thank you for the tip. Been listening since your first episode at DisinfoWars. I feel much shame. It's my first time donating, but I'll be sure to make a habit of it as long as you're on the air. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. A Narrow Way, Narrow Gates Ministries says, no political ads, no yard signs, no canvassing, no primaries, nothing of a normal election cycle. There will be no 2024 election. Well, even if they have something in November, this isn't an election. Not without debates, not without primaries, not without, they're not even going through the motions, as you point out. Not even any yard signs out there. North American House Hippo replied, said, I'm going to get a yard sign printed up. None of the above. I like that. That's really good. Christian Constitutional Conservative. RFK, Jr. only has COVID conspiracy on his side. He's a flaming liberal in all other aspects. I agree. Joseph, 228. We need a Boston Tea Party event. Instead of tea, we'll toss fentanyl and pharmakia products. Yeah, we're going to talk about fentanyl and opioid here in just a second. Sprumford, there will be no POTUS that can or will save us, quote unquote. Our political system is corrupt to the core. The whole thing needs to be trashed. Yeah. Cervantes Galan, Trump deflected all night, whereas Biden lied all night. And why wasn't the election result acceptance question also asked to Biden? Yeah, exactly. Dustin Helm, they need Trump to pull off their agenda. The people wouldn't allow it under Biden, but will embrace it under Trump. And that's exactly what I said in 2020. People said, well, you're going to vote for Biden? I said, I'm not going to vote for either one of them. I didn't vote in 2020. There wasn't anybody locally that I was going to support in the Austin area. And I said, yeah, but I said it's more dangerous to have somebody that you think is on your side. Again, you know, the whole analogy of the fifth column thing during the Spanish Civil War. They're talking about a city that they were going to be attacking. Said, we got four columns. Is that going to be enough? And he goes, well, you may have four columns in the attack, but we have a fifth column on the inside. That's going to be the thing that does it for us. You have spies are far more damaging than soldiers are. That's why when they capture soldiers, they accord them some respect and protection. You capture a spy, you execute them. They're very dangerous. It's very dangerous to have somebody that you think is on your side that's actually working for the other guy. Narrow Way, Narrow Gate Ministries. People have had a hard time with the mRNA technology because they've been deceived. It's very hard to come out from the blindness and deception puts you in when you will not consider it. And a lot of people don't want to admit that they've been deceived either. They buy into something, you know. We've all had that experience when somebody gets a lemon of a car. I've seen it in other people. I've seen it in myself. We actually bought a French car once. It took us a while to actually, all right, they got me that time, to admit the folly of our ways. It's really hard to admit when you were wrong like that. Did that when we were very young, actually. The progress retort. Thank you for the tip. That's kind. Thomas Massey just announced on Twitter that his wife Rhonda passed yesterday. Whoa. Oh, no details yet. Can we please collectively pray for him and his family? Oh, that is, that's amazing. Cause he seems to be very young and his family is very young. So sorry to hear that. That is a shame. Yes, we should be praying for Thomas. And praying that God will protect him. Thanking God really actually for one honest man in Congress. And so we do pray for that. I have something else that I want to get to before we run out of time. So I'm going to stop on these comments because I want to talk about that very thing in the life of Randy Alcorn and the passing of his wife. If you know who Randy Alcorn is, and if you don't, I'll introduce you to who he is and what he has to say about difficult things in life. The Paris Accord. This is a question from Harry Hound. Said, here's a nerd question, or nerd, I need a nerd answer. Says, I know you stated that Trump didn't actually drop out of the Paris Accord. Everything I pull up says that he did. Can you tell me why you stated this? I want to post that he didn't, but I can't find anything that says that he didn't. Well, you know, I guess part of this is my problem. I talk about this, and I keep repeating a lot of these important points. I want to go back and get them. Sometimes I go shorthand with it. And so I'll give you the full explanation, but I'll tell you where you can also find it so you can put it up. People will believe it here. I try not to be too repetitive, so sometimes I'll condense what I have to say about these things. As I said before, he was reluctant to get out of it. And so there were some good people. The only good people that he had in his administration were on the EPA climate side. And, of course, they ran Pruitt out of Washington. Trump wouldn't give him any cover, any defense, and they were really coming after him. They were going to, you know, get him one way or the other, make up some kind of lawfare thing. But the first couple of years, they did some good things. And they had some people there. They're arguing to him, said, you got to get out of Paris. But then he had Rex Tillerson, who was an environmentalist, even though he was a CEO of Exxon. Exxon and these oil companies have heavily invested in this stuff. And Ivanka was giving him bad information because she's nothing more than another Hillary Clinton or Chelsea Clinton. She also wanted him to, got him to launch some missiles in Syria. The third year in a row that they had run false flag narratives, and Ivanka was, oh, you got to, you know, look at we had babies that died and all this other kind of stuff. Shoot some missiles in, he did. Ivanka and Jared, horrible influence on him. But anyway, Ivanka and Rex Tillerson were telling him he didn't need to get out or shouldn't get out. Other people were telling him he didn't need to get out, that we were never in it because it was never ratified. And then he had other people saying, no, you have to countermand their pretense that we are in it. And so eventually he came around and he said, all right, we'll get out of it. However, he did not, he said, and I'll withdraw after the 2020 election, which he did. And that lasted for about a month and a half or 2 months. And then Biden gets in and puts us right back in. And so it was, I've said that it was a dodge, that he kept us in it for another 4 years and then pulled out. And I think, you know, I don't know. It, you can look at this and say, well, you know that he was going to be going out or whatever. But it was, you know, he should have taken us out of it. You also should have had Mitch McConnell or any of the Republican senators. It could be Ted Cruz. It could be Rand Paul. It could be any of them should have said, you know, under the Constitution, this is a treaty. And under the Constitution, we have to have 60% of us agree with this, and we haven't had a vote on it. So we need to have a vote on it. If we don't have a vote on it, it's gone. And of course, Mitch McConnell should have done it as they were talking about it. We supposedly got into it because John Kerry said that he and Obama self-ratified it. That's not the way this works. That's not the way a treaty works. Now, this is from climate.law.columbia.edu. So it's Columbia Law University. And what they say, President Trump announces withdrawal from Paris Agreement. This is written back in 2017. President Trump has announced his intention to withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Agreement. And they have a link to his June 1st, 2017 statement. They said, notably, the Paris Agreement, so they call it agreement, they call it accord. It's a treaty, folks. It's a treaty. Notably, the Paris Agreement does not allow parties to submit their notice of withdrawal until 3 years after its entry into force. And so that would have been, it says November 4th, 2016. So he could have gotten out in 2019, but he chose to do it after the 2020 election. Chose to wait a little bit more than a year later after that. It says, once a party does submit such notice, there is a 1 year period before the withdrawal becomes effective. Thus, the withdrawal will not become effective until November the 4th, 2020. Now, first of all, we never entered into it. That's the key thing. We never entered into it. Just as Mitch McConnell should have said something, all the way up to the point which, you know, he was no longer the leader, just as every Republican senator should have said something about the fact we're not into this treaty. We were never into it. So all this stuff about 3 years and waiting another year and all this other kind of stuff, that didn't apply. None of that applied. And he could have gotten out at any point in time. Obama put us in. So obviously, if Obama can put us in, he can take us out. And you have people who are constantly saying, well, we're not going to abide by this agreement anymore. You just had in a couple of European countries, they said, well, we've got this agreement to open our borders and allow immigration to happen. We're not going to do that anymore. We're done. You have the authority to do that. So to pretend that you can't do it is the same as pretending, well, I can't stop that Obama executive order called DACA. Because I got to ask the Supreme Court to do it. And these liberals in the Supreme Court say, no, you can't do it. So the whole thing was a beard. Whole thing was a beard. And he never got out of it in reality. He pretended that he had no authority to get out of it. And the same way that he pretended that he had no authority to countermand DACA, he also pretended that he had no authority to countermand what John Kerry and Obama had done as essentially an executive order to put us into a treaty. We don't get into treaties by executive order, and you don't do gun control by executive order either. Now, this agreement does not explicitly address the procedures for rejoining the agreement after exiting, but it's likely that a future president could rejoin the agreement. And of course, that's what happened just 1 or 2 months after that, because, hey, they're not going to pay any attention to the process for treaties at all. And you notice how Colombia law is not interested in how did we get into this treaty in the first place. They don't care about the U.S. Constitution. Isn't that interesting? Columbia Law School doesn't care about how we got into a treaty without having a vote in the Senate. But again, that's what's going on with the Paris Accord. And then we have the U.N. talking about Afghanistan and wringing their hands that there isn't enough opium coming out of Afghanistan. This is the UN. Do you realize, and it took me a while to realize, that the war on drugs was not an invention of Richard Nixon. What Richard Nixon did was he was the female dog of the UN's drug war. He was the one who declared a drug war here, and he took all of it. But when you go back and you look at the very beginning of the states saying, we're not going to continue prohibiting marijuana. Began in California. What happened? The UN got involved in it and said, this is horrible. You can't do that, and so forth, right? And I was talking to people who were law enforcement against prohibition, and he said, well, there's a UN treaty that we got involved in. I said, well, there hasn't been any vote about that, has there? You know, it's just like, you want alcohol prohibition? Well, they did at one point in time have an amendment to the Constitution so they could prohibit alcohol. You want to follow the UN on climate, or you want to follow the UN on the war on drugs? Well, there needs to be some kind of a vote about that, doesn't there? According to the Constitution? Well, yes. But of course, Richard Nixon pretended that it was his idea to do the war on drugs. It wasn't. It was the UN, and that's why the UN was saying, I'm sorry, these states cannot, my first response was, who are they to talk about the 10th Amendment? Oh, they don't know or care anything about the Constitution. And of course, the Democrats and Republicans in Congress, the Democrats and Republicans who are in the White House, they don't care about the Constitution either, just like the UN doesn't care anything about it. And so now the UN's Office on Drugs and Crime warned in their annual World Drug Report on Wednesday that the Taliban junta in Afghanistan could increase overdose deaths by ordering a dramatic reduction in opium production because heroin users hit by the sudden loss of supply could turn to even more dangerous synthetics for their fixes. Do you get the logic that they're putting out there? We need to ramp up production of heroin so that people don't do fentanyl. It used to be that they would take the people who were heroin addicts and they would make them methadone addicts. Now we're worried that the heroin addicts might become fentanyl addicts because they can't get enough heroin or methadone because they make the methadone out of the opium as well. We've had 50 years of winning with the war on drugs, haven't we? No, we've had 50 years of whining. And so I thought it was interesting that these two clowns talked about Afghanistan last night. Listen to what they had to say.
As far as Afghanistan is concerned, I was getting out of Afghanistan, but we were getting out with dignity, with strength, with power. He got out. It was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country's life.
President Trump.
Yeah, yeah. He was going to do it with dignity and power. We were there for 20 years. We were there guarding the fields. Remember the Geraldo Rivera report? And I said, yeah, we got to do this because, you know, if they don't, this is their economy. They've got to have this. We don't want to make them poor. The UN found that opium production in Afghanistan fell by 95% after the Taliban banned harvesting the poppies in 2022. Now, this is Breitbart talking about this. But folks, it was virtually zero before the Afghanistan war. I've said from the very beginning, look at what Afghanistan has. If you want to know why we get into some of these wars, just look at what they've got that we could use. That's a good example. Well, they're very big in terms of opium, very big in terms of lithium, very big in terms of that. That's why they never had any plans to leave. It wasn't about dignity. It wasn't about power. It was about neocolonialism. It was about going there because they've got lithium and because they've got opium. And the Taliban had pretty much shut down the opium production. We went there, and RT would talk about it on a regular basis. They'd say, look at this. Another record crop from Afghanistan of opium. And it was always between 95 and 98% of the world supply coming out of Afghanistan while we were there, It wasn't before we got there. But you want to know what was, we just had Supreme Court decisions about this Purdue Pharmaceutical, the Sackler family, the opioid epidemic and all the rest of this stuff. The Supreme Court got involved in that settlement. But, you know, we had, for 20 years, we've had record production of this stuff. And that's part of the opium, part of the problem here in the United States. And so when we got out, it went back to the way that it was again. It wasn't like this was some new thing. This is talking points out of the UN and talking points from the UN that Breitbart is picking up because they just, well, this is something that Biden did, you know, that type of thing. No, if you understand the history of this, you know that before we went to Afghanistan, the Taliban was shutting it down, viciously shutting it down, and had pretty much done that. And then we come back in, and almost all the world supply is coming out of Afghanistan, and the CIA is running it. Just like in South America, the CIA created crack cocaine. They created the crack cocaine epidemic beginning in L.A. through Freeway Ricky Ross. They, when it was discovered by Gary Webb, they wound up killing him. Before they killed him, they got a whole bunch of journalists at the LA Times. They had about 10 of them set up to cover him and to discredit him. Then after they discredited him, they killed him. But it's true. Dark Alliance, what he found. And so one thing the U.S. Defense Department, the CIA, are good at is drugs. Record crops and a black market and a black budget that they have. After seizing power in 2021, the Islamist terrorist junta, says Breitbart, announced that harvesting the poppies was no longer consistent with its interpretation of Sharia, and anyone who did so would face severe penalties. They said the report found production from Myanmar increased by 35% during the same period, but not enough to cover the shortage of product from Afghanistan. This is the UN and the United States who created this war on drugs, has created a failed narco state in Mexico and many other places. They're now wringing their hands because they don't have enough heroin. Think about it. Do you understand who these people are? You talk about drugs. You want to get rid of drugs? Get rid of the CIA if you want to get rid of drugs. Get rid of this criminal empire in Washington if you want to get rid of drugs and coups and world wars. They are the people. We are the fountainhead of this evil worldwide. We has met the enemy, and they is us, as in USA. The UN and other agencies, including the U.S. government, had long hoped to choke off the flood of heroin pouring out of Afghanistan. LOL, this is Breitbart. No, this is the Pentagon line that they're going to feed you. Pouring out of Afghanistan by persuading Afghan farmers to grow the crops. They had 20 years. They couldn't do that in 20 years. They couldn't find another crop for them to grow in 20 years. They had no interest. We were thrown out of Afghanistan. We didn't leave with dignity and power. Trump didn't do anything to end that war. They were thrown out. The Taliban's iron-fisted solution to the problem immediately caused a problem they had long feared. Shutting down Afghanistan's billion-dollar drug trade by decree, causing enormous hardships for farmers who suddenly had no way to earn a living. Poor things. Poor things. Hey, man, I'm just trying to earn a living here with the Sinaloa cartel. What are you doing shutting me down? Come on, man. I'm just human trafficking. What are you doing shutting me down? I have a billion-dollar industry here. Do you realize how important that is to the economy? But they do care when the people running that multi-billion-dollar industry are the CIA. That's when they care about this stuff. The purity of heroin on the market is expected to decline, said the UN. Demand for opiate treatment services, including for methadone and slow-release morphine treatment, may rise, but if these services are insufficient, heroin users may switch to other opioids or synthetics like fentanyl. As I've said over and over again, it is a spiritual war. And you know, the CIA represents the dark forces of satanic evil. That and that spiritual war. They really do. But it's a spiritual war for each and every one of us. So when we go back and we look at this, Trump says, well, we're going to do it with dignity and power. Biden talks about it, but as many people point out, he didn't say anything about the 13 service people who died because of his hair on fire emergency bug out.
Number two, we got over 100,000 Americans and others out of Afghanistan during that airlift.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the reason that Breitbart talks about this is to defend Trump, because Biden said, and he was right, Trump didn't do anything to address this war that had been going on for two decades. Obama didn't do anything in two terms. Trump didn't do anything in one term. Biden didn't do anything either. It's just as it was collapsing, because the military is so incompetent, they didn't know how to withdraw. They didn't know they needed to withdraw. So I was getting out of Afghanistan, said Trump, but we were getting out with dignity, with strength and power. He got out. It was the most embarrassing day in our country's life, right? Well, here is Breitbart's fact check to try to defend Trump for doing nothing about Afghanistan. And you know why he didn't do anything? Because his administration was being run by people like Gina Haspel and Clapper and the rest of them. And they're also running the drug war. They did the torture programs. They lied us into Iraq. And they have lied us into this drug war for the last 53 years. The Trump administration prioritized ending the Afghan war, says Breitbart. Did they really get it done? They really get done? That resulted in a deal which the U.S. government agreed to withdraw from Afghanistan by May the 1st, 2021. Just as phony as the Paris thing, right? When I'm no longer president, or maybe in my second term, we'll get out. Same thing he did with Paris. Why, if you want to get out, would you wait for another 3 years or so? You either get out or shut up. You either do it or you don't do it. When I was in engineering, we had a professor, and we were talking about in physics, we're talking about work. What's the definition of work in physics? Well, work is the amount of energy expended, I believe, if I remember correctly, plus the displacement, right? I'm sorry, times the displacement. So the point being, and I think it was the energy that you put into it. The point that I remembered from it, I don't remember the formula. A simple formula. I think that's what it was. The point being that he said, if you pushed all day on a brick wall, you may be totally exhausted by the end of the day. But if you haven't moved it, you haven't done any work from the physics definition of it. Well, that applies to politics as well. If you haven't moved the wall, if you haven't moved your army, you haven't done anything. He didn't do anything for years. And, oh, yeah, if you elect me a second term, I'll do something about it. Or I'll kick it out and I'll let the next guy handle it. That's the phony stuff, just like Paris. We'll always have Paris, Bogart said. Yeah, the CIA runs these guys, and they run the elections, and it was all a setup, and there were 13 servicemen who died. And then finally, Trump says about, he ties Afghanistan and the debacle under these incompetent, bureaucratic, so-called generals and Biden. He says that encouraged Putin to do what he did in Ukraine.
He did nothing to stop it. In fact, I think he encouraged Russia from going in. I'll tell you what happened. He was so bad with Afghanistan. It was such a horrible embarrassment, most embarrassing moment in the history of our country, that when Putin watched that and he saw the incompetence, that he should have fired those generals like I fired the one that you mentioned. And so he's got no love lost, but he should have fired those generals. No general got fired for the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country, Afghanistan, where we left billions of dollars with COVID. We did a lot to fix it. I gave him an unbelievable situation with all of the therapeutics and all of the things that we came up with. We gave him something great. Remember, more people died under his administration, even though we had largely fixed it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. You see that. So again, if we hadn't shown what a bureaucratic bunch of bumbling idiots we were, maybe Putin would have done. Well, that may be true, but of course, it's not to say that anything was any better under him. He had Mark Milley as Joint Chiefs of Staff and all the rest of this stuff. It's ridiculous. Marky Mark, New Jersey, thank you for the tip. What's scary is that Columbia is one of the top-ranked law schools. Yeah, Columbia Law School, not Columbia. South America. It's also ranked up pretty high, I guess, in some of the drug stuff. Law students try hard to get into Columbia because the Columbia JD is prestigious and opens doors. That's right. And they don't know or care how we got into this Paris Climate Accord. Jason Barker, much of the Afghan occupation was to launder money to the big contractors that basically just took up space there. Mm-hmm. Just like Halliburton and Iraq and things. I worked with people, he said, making six figures that just move containers around the yard. Holistic Nurse One, the injuries have been so hard to witness. Due to previous injury, I was wide awake at the beginning. Even people who know me are still brainwashed. Yeah. Don't frag me, bro. It's easier for people to remain deceived rather than admitting to having been deceived. Yes. Divided States, if they can't inject you with their vaccines, they will get into you with their contaminated food products. Yes. Dusty Milton, Dems are letting Biden crash and burn so their followers will vote for Newsom or Whitmer or anyone they pick because anybody else they pick is not Trump. I agree. President Andrew Jackson, USA was leaving Afghanistan. The debacle under Biden was to allow for 80 billions of weapons to go off the books. I don't know. I honestly don't believe that the U.S. was trying to get out of Afghanistan. I honestly believe that they would love to have those weapons out there. And of course, you know, Afghanistan, as Julian Assange pointed out, was also a money laundering operation. and the weapons would be part of that, just like Ukraine is a money laundering operation. They never had any interest at all in ending any of these wars. None of them did. There's no dignity, only power. And so we were there in Afghanistan because it was a corrupt government, money laundering, because we were running drugs out of there. We were the world supplier of opiates, and because of the lithium. They were never going to leave for all of those reasons. So Oklahoma State Superintendent, you know, we look at this and what is the solution? Are we blackpilled or should we just give up on all this stuff? Well, Oklahoma has decided they'll go one better than putting the Ten Commandments in curriculum. They are putting it up as a poster as Louisiana did. They're going to put it in the curriculum along with the Bible. Here's the problem, folks. We're in a spiritual war. Imagine a teacher with rainbow hair reading and explaining the Bible to your children. Is that what you want? Maybe we could get somebody like Christopher Hitchens, who's passed on now. Maybe we get Christopher Hitchens to explain, a committed atheist to explain the Bible to your kids. Can you imagine what he would do to explain that? All Oklahoma schools were required to incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments in the curriculums effective immediately, said the state's chief education officer in a memorandum yesterday. They have kind of identified the problem because education must include moral instruction. It's just that they're not fit to give the moral instruction. Are these teachers the ones that you want morally instructing your children? And listen to what this administrator says. The Bible, she says, is a necessary historical document. Bible is not a historical document. You're wasting your time if you see it as a historical document. In another place, the Bible is indispensable historical and cultural touchstone, says, it's Ryan Walters. I thought for some reason it was a woman, the superintendent of public schools. So it is a historical document. It is an indispensable historical and cultural touchstone. No. You can say the Bible is necessary to life, right? Like water is necessary to life, but like water, just looking at it as a historical and cultural document is not sufficient. Water is not going to generate life. Darwin believed that because if he left water there long enough and it got stagnant enough because he didn't have even a microscope, it's like, look, I got bugs in there. I can see them crawling around with my little handheld magnifying glass. That's what he used. I've been to the British Museum. I pointed that out when we were there with the kids when they were about 10 years old. I said, look at that. That's all he had to observe. That's why he believed in spontaneous generation out of water. Spontaneous generation of life. It just comes out of water. No, it doesn't. But we still have people who will gaze up at the stars. Oh, I see water up. I think I can detect water on this other planet. So that means that there must be life there. No, it is necessary, but it's not sufficient. The Bible is necessary, but it's not sufficient if you're going to look at it as a historical and a cultural document. That is a false view. It is not an intellectual exercise. A Bible study is spiritual exorcism. It is not intellectual exercise. If you don't understand that it is living and that it is powerful, then you're not going to get anything out of it. If you do understand that, as Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. He said, if you seek, you will find. And if you knock, it'll be given. It'll be opened to you. Do you think people are going to be doing this when they are told this historical, cultural document? You know, look at it. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at the Bible and historical aspects of it, the geological aspects of it. All of these different things can be very valuable, but not if you just look at it as some kind of a dead piece of literature. That's the way to be taught in schools. Folks, you can do better than that with your kids, your grandchildren. You can bring this alive. True religious freedom means ensuring that no one religious group is allowed to impose their viewpoint on all children. By the way, that's what R.L. Dabney said right after the Civil War. government should not have a role in education because a government will not teach morality the way that it should be taught. That's no longer a theory. That has been proven abundantly. We've seen that over and over again. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We had Shellier got it right. It is force. I knew it wasn't energy. I knew it was something, but I couldn't remember. It is, folks, it's been, I graduated, what, 55 years ago? I haven't used much of it since then, so I apologize for my poor memory. I wasn't planning on talking about it, or I would have at least looked it up. Force times distance equals work. My point being is that they haven't done anything if they haven't moved it, right? And he didn't move the troops. That's the point. So he should have taken those forces. He should have moved them a distance away from Afghanistan. That would have been a good thing. Plasma Stream, thank you for the tip. Says, I have a gut feeling the Afghans getting U.S. weapons was a payoff payment for services for opium. They no longer need poppies to kill Americans. Now they got fentanyl. Yeah, that's right. Well, I've got just a little bit of time before Gerald joins us. And I want to talk a little bit about pandemic. You know, we have to understand that, right now they're having an election in the UK. They're going to have their election on July 4th. And there was a piece from Daily Skeptic saying the lockdowns are Britain's biggest ever peacetime mistake, says Farage. I thought that good, because neither Trump nor Biden would say that about the lockdown. Neither of them would say it. And of course, in the UK, neither Sunak, the conservative, nor Starmer, the socialist Labour Party, neither one of them will say that either. But this is what Nigel Farage said. He said, the second and third COVID lockdowns are the biggest ever mistake made by British government in peacetime. Speaking to 1,000 people, he said, the Tories say we're in economic trouble because of the pandemic, but hang on, you didn't need to lock us down for a second and third time. You didn't need to take away our freedoms in a way that weren't even done during World War II, and all of it with support of labor. As a matter of fact, on that Monday following the Friday the 13th that Trump did this to say, I'm going to give people money to lock everybody down. That happened after my program. And when I came back on Monday, the 16th of March, I began with an analogy to the UK, an analogy to the Battle of Britain at the beginning of that, the signs that they put up. Keep calm, carry on. Another sign that you don't see as frequently anymore. Liberty is in peril. Freedom is in peril. Defend it with all your might. And I said, that's the way that we need to respond to this. I said, the threat, we haven't seen anything from a pandemic, but I said, these people saw the Nazi army right across the English Channel. Their death was imminent. And so they put signs up. Keep calm, carry on. Freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might. I said, that needs to be our attitude to Trump. But no, it was Trump, so it was okay. It was Trump, so Alex was telling everybody it was 4D chess. And Alex was telling people, and yeah, you know, in China, they've actually, they engineered this virus and it's going to come and get you. No, that was a lie. And so I opposed the very first one, and that's the point that Daily Skeptic is making. So what's the matter with the, you know, he's absolutely right when Farage says, he says, I believe the long-term economic and psychological damage from lockdowns, he says 2 and 3, perhaps represent the biggest mistake of all of any British government supported by the opposition, the biggest mistake any of them have ever made in peacetime. He went on to say that he treated the second and third lockdowns with contempt. And again, second and third. Daily Skeptic says, what about the first one? Ah, well, the first one Farage was in favor of. And says, why didn't he come back and tell people that he was wrong? That's what we need so it doesn't happen again. Nobody will do that. Nobody will do that. Not even Nigel Farage will do that. And they said, did we know? And they said, Daily Skeptic says, yes, we did know. We knew with the Diamond Princess. I talked about that as well. That was the cruise ship. I said, look at this. You know, we got this pandemic and they say they got some elderly people here. They're under horrendous circumstances and they had a couple of them die because they wouldn't treat them and that type of thing. But I said, is that the worst that can happen? Then it's not anything at all like what Fauci and the Imperial College of London are saying. I just showed this whole thing is a lie. And then after that, we had a Navy ship where the commander of the ship took it to port because it had one sailor that tested positive and had a cold. And I think they relieved him of his command. I certainly hope they would. But anyway, he took it to Fukushima. And I said, you look at these two things and they prove this is not true. And that's what they said. But I knew it before that. Because it wasn't even about that. It was about Dark Winter. It was about running this stuff through. So I said, well, maybe he's doing this as a politician. Maybe he realizes that he needs to do that. But, folks, because of Thomas Massie's wife passing away, and I didn't know about that, but I just, but it really does fit this short op-ed piece from Mandy Alcorn. And it fits, and I put it here in the pandemic stuff because when this happens again, and it will happen again, they'll do it with bird flu or something else. They're going to lie to us to set the, because they've left everything in place. Nobody is going to admit that they made a mistake. Nobody. And so it will happen again. Even the people who say that massive parts of it were massively wrong, they're not going to stop it. And so I wanted to read this to you. Now, Randy Alcorn lost his wife, who died from cancer a couple of years ago. And he and his wife had lived in poverty most of their life because, as a pastor, he had gotten involved in the pro-life movement. And it was the early part of the pro-life movement where they used the RICO statute. You hear about that now coming after Rudy Giuliani, except Rudy Giuliani weaponized that against people. It was a horrific idea. Civil asset forfeiture grew out of the RICO statute. The idea was we'll take people's money so they can't defend themselves. But they came after people who were doing abortion protests and said they were guilty of racketeering and influence corrupt organizations. So they got a judgment. Planned Parenthood got a judgment for like $8 million against Randy Alcorn. Now, why'd they get so much against a pastor? Well, because he was also a prolific author. He wrote fiction as well as Christian commentary. And so they thought they'd get their money out of him. What he did was he resigned from the church. And he turned over for the next 20 years, he turned over all of the royalties, many times $8 million. He turned that all over to other charities. And he lived off a minimum wage, he and his family. And so the headline of this is, because of how God sovereignly led me through past difficulties, I can trust him for the future. Very few of us have been through the kinds of stuff that Randy Alcorn has been through. But many of you have been through a situation where the government was going to take everything away from you. And your career, your job, everything was hanging in the balance if you didn't violate your conscience and do what they said over these vaccines and lockdowns and other things like that. He said, he recently put it on Facebook, he said, in all my hardest times, God has been there. He's been faithful to me. When I had to resign as a pastor, when I had issues with church leaders, when I went through lawsuits and public scorn, when I was restricted to minimum wage and faced disease, depression, and deaths of close friends and family members, including the death of my beloved wife and best friend, Nancy. He said, I don't understand why everything has happened. But I've seen a great deal of good come out of much of it. Because of who God is and all he's done for me, I trust him to use all the other difficulties in ways that I will not understand until I enter his presence. Several commentators said they didn't know that part of my story. So he posted as part of this a video about his about what had happened to him over the last 20, 30 years. He said, those who believe that God doesn't know about billions of future choices and the events that flow out of those choices have to simply hope for the best. Those who believe in a God who knows the end from the beginning, as Isaiah 46 says, can relax because even though they don't know what lies ahead, their sovereign God does. In the several years we found ourselves in the middle of stressful situations within the lawsuits, Nancy and I would talk with our daughters. We would assure them that God remained in control, that he knew everything that would happen, that we could trust him to use it for good, and he has. In the journal she kept during her cancer years, Nancy reflected on those earlier challenges. She wrote, Lord, you used the Lovejoy trial, and Lovejoy was the name of the people. That was not her nickname. It's kind of Pilgrim Progress aspect to it, isn't it? The Lovejoy trial. Yeah, we've been through that as well. We had had somebody who stole from us a great deal, declared bankruptcy, and the names were truly out of Pilgrim's Progress. We had a guy who went by an alias of Dr. Christian Shepherd. He had ripped off a lot of Christians were his specialty. So he went by the name of Dr. Christian Shepherd, but actually his real name was Lou Sauer. Sounds like Lucifer, doesn't it? And then the judge who presided over all of it was called, was Judge Small. Straight out of Pilgrim's Progress, was it? Well, theirs was the Lovejoy trial. A verdict to shape so many lives, especially those of our daughters. He said, your plan, this is what his wife wrote in her cancer journal, your plan was not to deliver us out of that literal trial. Your plan was to deliver us through that trial and that verdict. By allowing such a severe verdict and penalty, you led us onto a path that was marvelous beyond our hopes. So many blessings were piled along that path for us and countless others. Later in her journal, she quoted Charles Spurgeon. This is Spurgeon. As to the future, all of us are blind and cannot see an hour ahead of us, but the Lord will lead us right up to our journey's end. Happy are those who place their hand in that of the great guide and leave their way in themselves entirely with him. He'll bring them all the way, and when he has brought them home to glory and has opened their eyes to see the way. What a song of gratitude. So, when you look at this debate, the so-called debate, you realize that these people are at war with us? Do you realize that there is a war on farmers? There's a war on food. There's a war on the Constitution, on your liberties, on your life. There's a war on your travel. There's a war on the very money in your pockets. There are so many different wars and crises that these people have established. And you need to have something and hope. Something other than one of those two clowns that we saw yesterday. How sad it is that so many people were devastated when they saw what Biden was. How sad that so many people are so excited that, Trump did so much better than this other guy. Again, if these people are who you trust in, I like the way the Bible phrased it with one of these kings of Israel who had made a treaty with an Egyptian king and said, you will find that when you lean on that cane, it'll break and pierce your hand. And that's what will happen to people who put their trust in these politicians. Don't put your trust in that. Do we have Gerald yet? Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do, real quickly, I just want to thank some of the people who have given us tips here. Plasma Stream, thank you for the tip. I have a gut feeling the Afghans getting weapons. I read that one. I'm sorry. Let's go down Andromeda 1. Thank you for the tip. 3 months ago, Joe Scarborough said this is the best Biden has ever been. It's maybe the worst that Joe Scarborough has ever been. Now he says, in order to protect democracy, we have to replace Biden. Another talking head hack. Yes, Scott Helmer. Scott, you told me about a song that you had, and I keep forgetting to get that song and play it on the radio, but on the podcast. But it's an excellent song about the vaccines. I will get it. Scott Helmer, thank you for the tip. He said, I fear Trump will be installed by design and be at the helm to help usher in the worst tyranny and slavery we've ever lived under. But really, any of these puppets could help to accomplish that mission. Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to take a break, and I know that Gerald has got a lot to talk about. He saw this coming. This has been a trend for quite some time, and Gerald saw that coming. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Defending the American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, joining us now is Gerald Celente. Good timing. Of course, Gerald has seen this coming for a long time. I said at the beginning of the program, I referenced the magazine cover, because he does a weekly magazine at Trends Journal, and said Fall of America, and a lot of pictures of Biden falling. And as I was talking to Gerald during the break, he goes, oh, no, well, we got a better one than that now this week, and I'll let him tell you about that, and we'll show it to you. Yeah, the great debate. And we'll pull that up as Gerald comes on. But again, Trends Journal, you can find at trendsjournal.com. You can see some samples of it there. And, of course, if you use the code Knight, you can get it at 10% off. Great publication. A lot of information, a lot of work in this, and he does it on a weekly basis. It's an online magazine with hot links in it, and he is, even if they don't talk about the issues and the trends in the debates, Gerald talks about it every week. Joining us now is Gerald Celente. Good to have you on, Gerald.
Oh, thanks for having me. And again, with a 10% discount, it's the grand total of $2.50 a week.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
It's an amazing
and we're
budget.
Giving, and you see the magazine. Yeah. I'm not bragging, but if anybody can find me anything that comes close to it, let me know.
Yeah.
Because journalism is dead. And now what people don't know, you know, we had a revolution in this country fighting against the Brits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? They've taken over the media.
Yep, that's right.
The head of CNN, British guy, head of the Washington Post, a British guy, head of the Wall Street Journal, British woman. One after another, CNN, Bloomberg, British.
Yeah.
Daily Caller, British. One after another.
Washington Post.
Journalism is dead in this country, and now we're getting the propaganda being fed to us by the people that came from the country where the sun never sets on the British Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're murdering people all over the world. And they call, oh, His Majesty. You know, I'm an Italian boy. Oh, they make fun. Oh, the mafia. Hey, the mafia. What mafia? How about the royal family? You want to call mafia? How about those murderous people? They got a track record of murder. They're number one. The sun never sets on the British Empire. We slaughter people all over the world. But they say it so properly. You have to watch your language, Gerald. You have to speak properly. His Majesty. Some low-life piece of garbage. And they've taken over the country.
That's right.
The facts are right there.
Yeah, just like Piers Morgan. They got people like Piers Morgan running all the major media outlets, press, and video. It truly is.
Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
Could you get a little I would love to. I love to meet that guy face to face and call him what a little lying, little piece of scum he is. Oh, remember this is the Piers Morgan that kept selling the COVID jab?
Oh, yeah.
That one? Piers Morgan?
Yeah. Remember Jeremy Clarkson? You know, they were both of them many years ago. They were on the Concorde, the supersonic jet, and Jeremy Carson loathed him so much he poured a drink over his head or something. Something like that. That's you got to give it to Jeremy Clarkson. That's what we all wanted to do, but none of us had an opportunity to do it except for him. You know.
Yeah, and Piers Morgan, big mouth, and a pair of cojones the size of a mothball. No fighting these guys. No fight at all.
Yeah, yeah. They get other people to do the fighting for them. Yeah, the royal family mafia. It is a family business, isn't it? And they've been going for quite some time. Well, let's talk about the debate.
Debate.
You know, one of the things that I said, I think it was yesterday, Reason Magazine said, maybe the best thing that could come out of this is that it's so bad that maybe it you know, puts people off of investing so much hope in these presidential elections and in the federal government for a solution. I thought it was at that bad or worse. What did you think?
It's the cover of this week's Trends Journal.
Yeah, pull that up. Whistler, let's show people that covers your talk. There we go. Yeah, the great debate. You've got Donald Duck and you've got Goofy right there. That's great. Presidential reality show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Remember that? That's all. That's all, folks.
Yeah, that's a great
cover. And that's exactly what it turned out to be.
Yeah, that's right.
And Biden didn't, you know, what's his name? The show that redacted Clayton Morris.
Okay.
He did Clayton Morris used to be on, Fox. He's over in Portugal now. He has a big following with Redacted, and I've been on his show a number of times. And, he did a video a couple of weeks ago, a show saying that they're going to get rid of Biden and the primary person they're going to put in is Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, he was there to be he was there to talk and to try to suck up to Biden and to be the person who's making. Let's not dump this guy, you know. It's like Brutus is an honorable man type of thing, you know. So what's that?
It's already done.
Yeah,
Biden's gone.
Yeah.
I was asked by Sputnik, the Russian news agency, to do an article on this, comments on it before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is very important. I said, they don't have debates this early.
That's right.
I said, the election, again, with just a little bit of my background, I began my career running political campaigns and working on them in Westchester County back in the early 1970s, and that was the richest county in America. And I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate, and I designed and instructed a course called American Politics and Campaign Technology, which is basically how to run political campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this business. The campaign doesn't really begin until after Labor Day.
That's right. That's right.
People are in a summer state of mind right now. It's summertime. They're not. So much is going to happen between June and November. People start tuning in after Labor Day. That's when they have the debates. Mm-hmm. They never have them this early.
I was talking about it. The last two times they had the first debate was at the end of September. Their second debate is going to be at the beginning of September. And I said, you know, typically in July, what do you usually have, Gerald? You got the primaries are still going, and usually there's some guy who's way out front, but there's another guy, and they're telling everybody, well, he may be able to pull this back in, or maybe there'll be some kind of a fight at the convention or something like that. But it's always, we don't even have primaries this time. And so it's usually that type of thing is happening in July, but they always have the first one at the end of September, and then they'll have like one in the middle of October and then one at the end of October.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They did this knowingly. They knew Biden is dead.
Yeah.
They know it.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a cold. I mean, he had a cold.
Talk about that. That's their line. He had a cold. He couldn't think.
He had a cold.
Well, I played the clip from Anderson Cooper asking Lala Harris. It's like, is this the way he is every day? It's like, of course he is. And Anderson Cooper knows that. Lala Harris knows that. She pretended that that wasn't the case, you know.
So they know how bad it is. So they did this purposely, is my belief. And mm-hmm. I can't stand that arrogant little piece of scum, Gavin Newsom.
Yes.
That's the first guy that closed down America.
Yeah, that's right.
To fight the COVID war. Hey, all you folks over there in San Francisco with your 36% office vacancy rate. Oh, it was about 3.5% before that, before the COVID war. You're really happy, huh? Hey, how about all your homeless all over L.A., huh? Yeah, Gavin Newsom. What is he related somehow to the Pelosi gang?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Oh, and his daddy was a lawyer for the Getty gang?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, he wants to lock us all down when it comes to climate stuff. I mean, you look at what he's doing in terms of energy and transportation and the power grid and all the rest of this stuff. You know, we talk about the radical climate ideas of RFK Jr., but this guy is even beyond that, and he has he's done so much stuff. It truly is amazing.
And he will win if he runs.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, he's a
and
very.
I'll tell you what.
He looks like a fashion model, doesn't he?
He's arrogant as could be.
Mm-hmm.
So many people will go out to vote because they hate Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the story.
That's right.
That's why Biden won and barely won. And by the way, as much as I hate Trump because he's an arrogant piece of scum and he lies like crazy. Didn't you know it was the best economy in the history of the United States under him?
Yeah, that's right. I liked it when they got into, they went straight from World War III into competing golf scores last night. Did you see that part of it where they're arguing about who's better at golf? It was so ridiculous and irrelevant. It was amazing.
So as much as I can't stand Trump, I do believe the election was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. I was doing, the whole election eve with USA Watchdog, Greg Hunter. And he had all these charts up. And it was Trump and Biden under him. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know the exact number, but it was well over 100,000 votes came in, like, I think from Wisconsin, Michigan. And write-in ballots, not one for Trump out of 100,000. I mean, who are you talking to?
Yeah, that's right.
So I do believe it was stolen. I do believe, I know, we wrote about in the magazine, that Russiagate was a lot of crap and the facts were there about it. So as much as I can't stand Trump, I also knew what they were doing to him. And again, that's what the Trends Journal does. It's not what we like, what we don't like. We call it the way it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether we like it or not.
And of course, Gerald, this week we had, Jim Jordan doing some of his TV show trials. He finally brought up the name of Gina Haspel. Now, most of the conservative press still wants to just focus on James Clapper. But the fact is that Gina Haspel was there at the center of both the 2016 Russiagate stuff. And then later, in terms of these 51, Intel experts, that said, no, the Hunter Biden laptop thing is just a Russian distraction. And so she was there at the center of all that. And yet he put her in as his CIA director. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on with any of this stuff or he's in on it. And then he was the one who set up the rules to vote by mail because of lockdown. Yep. And everybody was saying that months before. I was saying it months before. You even had Bill Barr was saying it months before. Bernie Sanders was saying it. Everybody knew what was going to happen with this vote by mail stuff. And so that part of it was, it was amazing. You know, it was all there. It was like there's a plan by the Uniparty to move one guy out, move the other one back in. It's crazy.
And look at the other people he brought in. Pompeo.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of crap. Bolton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, how about Mad Dog Mattis as the defense secretary?
Mm-hmm.
Mad Dog Mattis.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, these are people for war, aren't they?
This is the Trump that tried to overthrow the Venezuelan government with Guaido. People mm-hmm. forgot all about that, don't know any clue about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Trump that assassinated
Iranian?
Soleimani, in Iran. He went to Iraq for a peace talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the Trump that got $100 million from Sheldon Adelson.
Mm-hmm.
To move the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This is the Trump that got $100 million from Sheldon Adelson that said, hey, you know that land you stole in 1967 from Syria? It's yours. Yeah, that's the same Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same Trump he's going to do more to keep the genocide going in Gaza. That's the same Trump.
Same again, Trump that's selling pardons and stuff to big white collar Jewish pals of Jared Kushner. At the same time, he would not pardon Assange, and it was his Attorney General Bill Barr who came after Assange with his connections to the CIA. I mean, it was when he put Bill Barr in there. All these people, when he put them in these positions, it was like, what is he thinking? You know, is he just a flat out traitor or is he not know who any of these people are? What is going on? And of course, we saw the results of all that. I think he knew exactly what he was doing.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, look at what they look like. Look at that bar. Look what he looks like. Look at Bolton. Look what he looks like. Look at Pompeo. Look what he looks like. Look at Mad Dog Mattis. Look what he looks like. And it's the same thing in the Biden administration. Look what these freaks look like. That little clown boy with the fat mouth that sells all the crap, Kirby. Yeah, Jake Sullivan. He looks like Goebbels' great 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 grandson. I mean, one little clown, Lloyd Austin, our defense secretary. Yeah, look at what these people look like. Yeah. And look at and listen to the crap spewing out of their mouths. Again, Trump, we had the greatest economy in history. Who the hell are you talking to? Who the hell are you talking to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the Trump. And by the way, just to make this clear, again, I write about this stuff all the time. You go back to 2019. The repo game going on. Their banks were failing like crazy. The Fed was dumping in money. You go back to Trump pushing Jerome Powell to lower interest rates because the economy and the stock markets were going way, way down. Oh, you forgot about that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot about how many trillion dollars did Trump dump into the economy and zero interest rate policy to artificially boost it up when he launched the COVID war on March 13th, Black Friday, 2020, when he called a state of emergency.
And you talked about it, we talked about that repo thing. I remember talking to you several times about it in 2019, but then also the Trump tax situation. And he was out there courting the CEOs and saying, I'll do it again and I'll go even lower this time. And of course, you were the one pointing out that they were going to take that money and they were not going to invest it in the United States, which is what he's lying to people about. They invested in their own stock. They bought back their own stock.
It was the biggest stock buyback ever in 2018. And Trump sold BS that they're going to use it for capital improvements. And number two, according to the Tax Policy Center, the 1% got 64% of those benefits of the tax cuts.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, nobody talks about why they're going to grow the IRS to be seven times bigger than it is now. Why grow the IRS? Why even continue with an income tax code if the deficit doesn't matter to Trump and it doesn't matter to Biden? I mean, they're adding $1 trillion every 100 days. So obviously the deficit doesn't matter to them. What's the purpose of the income tax code? Well, it's to punish the rest of us, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We are plantation workers of slave landia.
That's right. It's to keep us from accumulating any capital. It's to make sure they saw off the lower rungs of the ladder of success to us, to make sure that we don't have anything, that we have just enough so we're not starving and doing a riot until they're ready to handle that. And why they keep the tax code.
Yeah, and this is better than the plantation system, because back then you had to house them and feed them.
That's right.
Now you get a job at Walmart or Lowe's or Home Depot or Staples or Target, and they give you just enough money. Get the hell out of here and come back tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't have to house and feed you. They give you just enough to get the hell out of here and come back and work for nothing.
And that's one of the things about Newsom as well, this $20 an hour minimum wage increase that he did, and how he focused that. See what you think about this. He focused that on the fast food chains, right? And so we've seen a lot of businesses, they've talked about, oh, here's a McDonald's in San Francisco's in business for 35 years, and here's a woman who's in her 90s now, and she's had Arby's that was in L.A. for 55 years. They can't handle it anymore. They said the first big blow was the lockdown, but now this has been the thing that this minimum wage increase has done this. But she also talked about the fact that the franchise was putting pressure on them to add more equipment. And I said from the very beginning, because Newsom's focus was on large fast food chains, I was suspicious from the very beginning that he was trying to help his pals in Silicon Valley who have been working on kitchen robots and things like that to put pressure to basically price out these people who, as you mentioned, that's our life is to go work for Arby's or McDonald's or for Walmart or whatever. But let's get rid of these people now and replace them with robots that my pals in Silicon Valley are designing. And that'll be our entry into rolling out the robots into a broader area. He is so tied in. Not just with so many of these different factions within the Democrat Party, but he's also tied in with Silicon Valley in an amazing way. Marky Mark in New Jersey says he'll win if he runs because he's good-looking, smooth-talking devil who'll pull the women's vote. Women find him sexy. He looks like a model, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yep. No, he'll win. Mm-hmm. Again, people will go out to vote against Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's
and maybe as the vice president, they're bringing that witless Whitmer.
Yeah, that would be quite a combination, wouldn't it?
It's the combination because then you win. You're gonna get Michigan.
Yeah,
you get Wisconsin. Yeah. You get Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get the
Midwest
states the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
You get Illinois. You'll get those states, and you'll get the East Coast and the West Coast. No, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's just amazing. It amazed me that she won re-election, you know. But, yeah, you're right. That's the Democrat area there. And when I think about it, I get not just Illinois, but I get ill and annoyed when I think about Gretchen Whitmer, you know. I got a question for you here from Atomic Dog. He says, question for Gerald. With Biden's replacement likely, do you think the Fed will cook the economy with lower interest rates to help the replacement candidate?
They won't need to. They won't need to. Again, I would have thought the Fed would have lowered interest rates already.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong about it. And the reason I was wrong about it is they want to bring down inflation. And the old saying that was on the campaign of Bill Clinton back in 1992, the behind-the-scenes slogan was, it's the economy, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And people are feeling inflation pressure. And that's what they're going to do. The numbers just came out today. And this is the language from CNBC. An important economic measure for the Federal Reserve showed Friday that inflation during May slowed to its lowest annual rate in more than 3 years. The core personal consumption expenditure price index increased just a seasonally adjusted 0.1% for the month and was up 2.6% from a year ago. And so they're going to do everything they can to bring down inflation, but I think they're going to lower the rates anyway, because what's very important over here is prices were held in check during the month by 0.4% decline for goods and a 2.1% slide in energy. But you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Which offset a 0.2% increase in services and a 0.1% gain in food. The food is what the people are feeling.
Yeah.
They're feeling it. You know, everybody I talk to, my friends, and, you know, they can afford to go out. They can't believe how costly it is to go out. All right, I'll tell you, I went down to city this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. New York City.
And yeah, and I'm a city guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The West Village. And the West Village is like one of the hottest spots. I've been going down there, you know, since I'm a kid. Now, this is what you see sitting on a stoop, guy drugged out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. West Village.
Hmm.
Shooting up right in front of other people. Everywhere where they're doing construction, you know, they have that platform, you know, under it.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with homeless. Filled with homeless.
Wow.
The filth. Garbage everywhere, everywhere. Walk from the West Village all the way over to Broome Street on the east side. Filth, people drugged out. Again, I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
This was never like this before the COVID war. Now going back to feeling the economy. So my buddy, I took my buddy out for brunch. Two eggs Benedict, had a glass of wine. Some rosé, hot day. He had a cup of cappuccino with a tip, $115.
Whoa. Yeah.
Everybody's complaining about the prices.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of sight. Going back to Trump. This is the guy that caused the inflation.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that caused the inflation when they dumped in all of that cheap money to artificially prop up the economy and brought the interest rates down to zero, the Fed rate.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden kept it going.
That's why I call Trump President Trump. He set all these precedents, right? And then Biden keeps them going. Oh yeah, we can do $3 or $4 trillion a year now. Yeah, I'll do it too. I mean, you know, that's yep. what happened. I'll do gun control by executive order. Okay, I'll do gun control by executive order too.
Yep. And again, what we're talking about, then nobody's talking about. I mean, you know, in the mainstream media.
That's right.
And then Biden told him is Biden. Trump told Americans to inject bleach into their arms to treat COVID-19.
Yeah.
Again, Trump didn't say that, but
right.
Trump is the guy that gave us the Operation Warp Speed gene therapy inoculation, the first one ever injected into the human body.
Yeah.
And again, detailed in your Trends Journal, when the election was going on in 2020, Kamala Harris and Biden made fun of Trump for pushing the vaccine forward, and they said he was doing it to get reelected. And as soon as they got elected, they became the big pushers of the jab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It didn't even wait a week. I've talked about this many times. You know, we had the election on Tuesday. By Saturday, they coronated, the media coronated Biden as the winner. The next day on Sunday, 60 Minutes ran a canned piece that they had about Operation Warp Speed, showing how the military, all military, the military is ready to deliver this right as soon as we get the go-ahead. And then the next day, Monday, hadn't even been a week. The next day, Pfizer comes out and says, we're 94% effective or whatever. And then you had this bidding, this bidding war about who's more effective. RT comes out the next, not RT, but Russia comes out the next day, says their vaccine is 1% higher in terms of efficacy than Pfizer. A week later, Moderna comes out and they add another couple points. And then the next day, Pfizer comes back and says, well, we reevaluated it. Now we're even higher than everybody else. It was just a game. All the way through.
Yep. And don't forget, when you masturbate, sanitize your hands.
Watch out.
Don't forget to wear these masks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now you see people, it's the new normal, people wearing masks, and then you read the cover right here. These masks do not eliminate exposure to the risk of any disease or infection.
That's right. Well, you know why they've got that disclaimer there? I talked about this back in 2020. I said, I found an article where in 2002, when they first started wearing masks in Asia because of the first SARS or whatever, and in Australia, in New South Wales, where it was going to be one of the worst places under Gladys Berejiklian, in New South Wales in 2002, they had a doctor. She was one who had discovered the parvovirus, and she did a study about masks, and she said, most doctors are not wearing these masks. And she said, we found that after 20 minutes, these N95 masks become so saturated with spittle that it's actually counterproductive because you're spitting out these particles and they are smaller and they remain airborne longer and travel farther. So it's counterproductive. And the New South Wales government put in a $100,000 fine if anybody claimed that these things would help you with a virus. And so that's probably why they started putting that stuff on these things, because now we've now got five attorney generals that are coming after Pfizer for fraud. And, it's about time. And I hope they win with this stuff. But, you know, here's one of the other things too. You know, we talk about the bleach stuff. Remember the, ivermectin is for horses, y'all stuff. And always when I talk, these Trump people say, well, you know, he tried to tell us about ivermectin. I said, well, he could have done more than tell us about it. He could have told, the various, pharmaceutical, state authorities, and the, medical authorities, you don't take somebody's license away as a pharmacist or a doctor because of ivermectin prescriptions. And he could have very easily have mass-produced ivermectin and handed it to everybody, just like he did the other stuff that they ran through, the ventilators and things like that. But he didn't do it. Yeah.
Again, look who he is.
Yeah, I know.
Again, and I want to make this clear. He's nothing more than a daddy's boy.
Yeah.
He didn't get this money on his own. His father left him, what, almost $500 million to the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew his brother, Robert. I had lunch with him in 2017. You know, if he asked me what was he like, I'd say he passed in the street. You know, he's a nice guy, but, you know, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is nothing more than a spoiled little daddy's boy.
Yeah.
We're the same age. He's a couple of months older than me. When I write about it in my book, one of my books, What Zizi Gave Honey Boy, True Story About Love, Wisdom, and the Soul of America. This is what life used to be. And they did a movie on this, by the way, with Doris Roberts, the woman that played the mother of Everyone Loves Raymond. So you could go online, you could see Zizi and Honey Boy. And it's only a 15-minute movie because Doris Roberts died. 15-minute movie, yeah. But anyway, I write in the book that The greatest threat our parents would give us when they couldn't control us was your little SOB, you're going to military school.
Yeah.
That was the biggest threat. I write about how they took us to the botanical gardens and we thought it was the big gates. We thought, oh, we'll be good. Anyway, Trump was so arrogant, or is so arrogant, never changed. They sent them to military school.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Corning, New York, and you were up here when you came and spoke at the rally. It's about 30 minutes south of Kingston, in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of nowhere, Cornwall, military. Here you are, a teenager. What are you thinking about? Girls, sports, cars. Here you are, dressed up in your little costume, eating crappy food, and going through military jerks. And that's how arrogant Trump is. They sent him to military school.
And he's been trying to recapture that lost youth all the rest of his life, right? Acting like a spoiled teenager, chasing women and grabbing everything. When they did that, what was the Apprentice movie that they're trying to find distribution on? I like the way that one of the people described how they were trying to do the sets. They said, we wanted something that looked expensive, but was still tasteless. And I thought, yeah, that's perfect. That's what he does, expensive and yet tasteless.
Yeah. He's nothing more than a spoiled boy. Yeah, you look at the whole thing when they're doing the interview, the debate.
My son writes, no, it wasn't the bleach that Trump wanted you to inject into your arm. It was genetic modification. That's so much better, isn't it? Yeah. I think I'd rather injected bleach.
No, the bleach he injected into his hair.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, but
you still got blonde hair at this age. Who are you talking to over here?
Yeah.
And Biden got all those shots in his head. Remember to grow hair?
Yeah, the plugs. Yeah.
The plugs.
That's right.
It's a freak show.
As a matter of fact, when you look at Biden, you know, he is frozen, but his facial features are frozen because I think he's had so much Botox and, you know, pulling the skin tight and all that. He doesn't really have any way to do a facial expression. I thought he was going to wander off in the opposite direction from Trump like he did at the G7. He was looking off to the side at the beginning. I wasn't planning on watching it. I sat down. I had some work I had to do. We put it on the background. I got drawn into it because it was such a car wreck. It was amazing.
I had to watch it, you know, because I have to, you know.
Yeah.
And but it shows you how low America's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then of course the war. The wars. They're both war hawks. And again, both draft dodges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Biden was trying to make the case that his son killed in the war again, you know. I guess this time he's trying to make it sound like a secondary knock-on effect or whatever, his cancer. But, you know, that's what he's trying to grasp onto to Beau Biden's record, you know, because Trump doesn't have anything, you know. I had a son who was in the military once, and it's crazy.
Yeah, again, they're both war hawks and they're both draft dodgers.
Yeah, that's right.
But Biden got 5 draft deferments.
Yeah.
Trump got 4. I think I got a spur on my ankle. That's what he got it for. I'm telling you.
That was it. Literally, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
got a spur on your brain.
I'd like to give him a spur.
So anyway, this both wars are going to ramp up. When all else fails, they take you to war. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're having a peace and freedom rally on September 28th. Go to Occupy Peace, everybody. Scott Ritter, Judge Napolitano, Max Blumenthal.
Oh, should be good.
Yeah, and really some good of the speakers.
It'll be 2 weeks after the last so-called debate. Yeah, they've got it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing that's amazing. They're going to have that second debate is just only going to be a couple of weeks after their Democratic convention that they have.
Yeah, and Napolitano suggested that we have it in September.
Mm-hmm.
We usually have it earlier because he said we should do it before the election.
Yes.
And I had dinner with Napolitano and Scott Ritter. And Scott Ritter said, we need 1 million people here. We have to close down the New York State Thruway. We got to get the message of peace out.
Yeah.
It's up to we the people. I mean, unless you're going to vote for Biden or Trump, of course. How could I forget? I mean, really. I mean, it shows you right in front of your eyes that it's up to we the people.
That's right.
If we don't do it, we're lost.
That's right.
And, you know, this thing takes a lot of energy out of me, costs a lot of money to make it happen. And so please go to Occupy Peace, OccupyPeace.com, and, you know, donate what you want. You know, they're talking about the draft, you know. And remember the big, everybody's outraged about the, they want women to be drafted.
Yeah, yeah.
What, you know, how about women want equal rights? So how about being drafted? If you're equal rights, you know, we're all equal.
That's right.
What are you complaining about?
That's right.
But, oh, how dare you say that?
Yeah.
That's the crap they're spewing out. And I'm tired of this garbage that if only women were in charge, we wouldn't have war. Oh, you forgot Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, yeah.
You forgot Samantha Power? Maybe you forgot Susan Rice. Mm-hmm. Oh, how about Condoleezza Rice, the next mushroom cloud you see, right, from Iraq? How about that Baerbock, brain-dead, arrogant piece of scum over there in Germany? How about Vandalin, the clown lady?
I call her Ursula Fond of Lying.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people like Jacinda Ardern or Whitmer or whatever, some of the worst COVID tyrants that we saw, women.
Yep.
But, all that stuff about drafting women. When they were pushing through the ERA stuff back in the 70s, I remember the women who were opposing it, people, conservatives like Phyllis Schlafly, she said, well, they're going to put you in the military. They're going to draft you in the military. And here we are. You know, it's the Democrats, the equal rights people who are pushing hard to get the women in the military. But, look, I think the war, and you believe it as well, they're not going to have to put us in uniform and ship us off to a foreign land in order for us to be involved in war. I think we're going to be involved in war whether we get in the military or not. I think this one is not going to be away from the U.S. I think we're getting a lot of early warnings about this, whether these attacks, these cyber attacks, are about ransomware or whether they are early warnings from Russians or whatever about what's going to happen. It certainly does show that we have the vulnerability that you know, a state actor could take down our infrastructure very easily. So it's going to come in a wide variety of ways, I think.
I'd forecast this. I did a talk for Virginia Military Institute, VMI,
mm-hmm.
back in 2000, just before 9/11. And they brought me down there to talk about New Millennium Warfare. And that's what I had forecast. It's going to be a whole different kind of war.
Yes.
Cyber attacks, different, you know, the different, it'd be a whole different war. Again, remember they had catapults at one time, you know, it's a,
that's right.
You know, it just keeps evolving or devolving. And this is going to be a nuclear war.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, it's right in front of our eyes. It's going to be a nuclear war.
I agree. And then, of course, there's other things that are really horrific as well. And that's things like thermobaric bombs and hypersonic missiles and stuff. Last week, Gerald, it was last Friday, I talked to a guy who has a preparedness journal, civildefensemanual.com. And Jack Lawson was saying, I've seen a thermobaric bomb go off. And he says it's just unbelievable. It sucks all the oxygen out from everything. Well, this last week, I think it was Wednesday, I didn't play it on the show, but there was a video of Russia attacking a city with thermobaric bombs less than a week after we talked about it. This kind of escalation, some of these are weapons that we've seen before but haven't really been used. Now they're being used. Then a complete change in the way warfare is going to be conducted. And I think we're going to see a tremendous amount of electronic warfare and counter warfare. We're going to see automated killing machines, automated robots, killer robots, automated killer drones, swarms of drones, things like that. People have no idea what this is going to be like, and it'd be so easy for them to attack our infrastructure just with cyber attacks. They could shut us down.
Well, yeah. And again, the country's rotting in front of our eyes.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I drove down to New York City, you know, last week. Potholes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole trip. Pothole, 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 pothole. And again, garbage all over New York City. It's disgusting what's happened to it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, on the equity market front, you know, the only thing going up is the, when you're really looking at it, are these, you know, high tech stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And we note that since AI is a prime, this is in your Trends Journal this week, a prime mover of the equity markets, it is clear that while Wall Street keeps climbing, Main Street is falling. Take a look at some of the articles in this week's Trends Journal. The American middle class is vanishing. That was a Pew Research study. Retail sales flat in May. New home construction slows in May. U.S. home prices set another record in May. They went up again, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Sky high prices and sky high interest rates.
Do you know how much since Biden launched, Trump launched the COVID war in 2020, do you know how much prices of homes went up? What percent?
What is it?
47%.
Wow. Wow.
Houses are 47% more than they were before the COVID war.
And that's interest rates. Is that prices or monthly payments? Because I know that, you know,
no, that's the median cost of a house.
The price. And then on top of that, you got huge interest rates increases.
And you have insurance costs have gone away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, insurance companies are even canceling large areas in Florida and that type of thing, you know, making it impossible.
Other articles. Eurozone's business activity slumps in June. Europe's consumers not responding to discounts. And then we have a whole article on the debt bomb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's only $35 trillion.
Yeah.
And we're looking at $1 trillion added to it every 100 days. And now with these high interest rates, you got to pay more on your debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, what no one is talking about, other than the Trends Journal, is the office building bust that's going to bring down the banking system.
Yes. Yes.
Again, the whole world has changed since COVID. I don't know what's going on where you are, but all where I am, 9 o'clock at night now, the restaurants are almost empty. Mm. And they stop serving now at 9 o'clock at night.
Mm.
They used to stop serving at 10 and 11 at night.
Yeah. Wow.
9 o'clock at night. 9:30 at night, the streets are dead. Dead.
Mm.
Everything changed. The prices went way up. The cost of living went way up. And happiness went way down.
Yeah. That's the key. That's the key. Thank you, Chops480. Thank you for the tips. As we have 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away and 3,000 more 3,000 miles away. Yeah. It truly is. It truly is a situation. We got them bad at the state level and we got them bad in Washington as well, don't we?
Yep. Yep.
Truly amazing. One guy says, David, no way Trump makes ivermectin available. Nobody had to work on COVID treatment to get the emergency use authorization on this warp speed clot shot. There's too much coming out about ivermectin. It's too helpful for too many different things. You've got a lot of people out there pushing it and saying, hey, it's looking like it's effective for cancer. If that's the case, it'll disappear completely.
Yep. I got ivermectin. I had a doctor friend that gave me a prescription.
That's good.
And I went to get it filled, and they told me, this is the last, you can't get another one, and we're going to stop having it.
Wow. Wow. That says it all, doesn't it? It's just amazing.
And again, I had a cold. I was sick for 2 weeks, the first time in almost 5 years, because every day I take vitamins and supplements, and the first book I worked on many years ago, back in the 80s, was Natural Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an honorary doctorate from the National University of Health Sciences for the work I've done in complementary and integrative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Not a word during the COVID war to build up your immune system and get healthy.
Yeah.
Not a word.
That's right.
Not a word.
That's right.
And there's all these videos out there. Someone sent me the one of all of these arrogant little clowns in the media and the quote celebrities selling the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And how disgusting you are if you don't get it.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, it was just horrible. And nothing is being done about that. You know, nobody is. I've talked about this. I said, you know, they laid the foundation for all this stuff back in December 2001. You know, we had 2 weeks, 2 months before 9/11, they had the first germ game, Dark Winter. Then 1 week after 9/11, anthrax. And then 2 months later, model legislation sent out all the states, and most of them enacted it in 2002. That was the foundation for what Trump paid them to do. And unless we take that stuff out, they're going to do it again. There's absolutely no way that they're not going to use that again.
Yeah. No, it's terrible what's happened. Again, yeah. I'm heartbroken. I cry when I think about stuff. And I see the decline of this country and what it used to be.
You know, the other thing, too, you talk about the press and how they're prostitutes and all the rest of this stuff. You got Robert Redfield. He's gone around 4 or 5 times holding these conferences telling everybody it's inevitable that bird flu is going to get to humans. And then following up by saying there's going to be 25 to 50% casualties. And nobody calls him on that. I mean, I see people in the comments saying, come on. Yeah, you don't know any of this stuff. But nobody that writes these articles, nobody that reports what he has to say, nobody in the mainstream press will question any of that. They just put it out there as if it were true. Because it's coming from Trump's guy, right? It's coming from Redfield.
It's gone. There is no journalism is dead.
Yeah.
They used to call journalism the fourth estate. You had the executive branch, judicial branch, congressional branch, and the fourth estate was the media to look over those three.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Here, that slime ball, Bill Clinton, Slick Willie, 1996 Federal Communications Act, allowed the bigs to take over the entire media.
Yeah.
You have 6 companies now that control over 90% of Americans' media. 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why you get the Trends Journal. We're giving the people the truth. You know, we say this is what's being reported. This is our analysis. This is our forecast.
Yeah.
So you know we're not skewing the information.
Yeah.
This is what they're reporting. This is the way we see it. And there's where it's going. Nobody's doing that. Nobody. And again, you got like the Israel war going on. We subscribe to Haaretz, Israeli newspaper. And we go to Times of Israel. We go to Jerusalem Post. Oh, and Trump would hate us for this. We go to Tehran Times, IRNA, ISNA, the Iranian newspapers to hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why, how dare you listen to anybody else? We say this is what they're reporting. This is what they're saying. This is where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People have no idea. No idea what's going on. All they do, again, people are so filled up with their lives, they're not studying what's going on.
That's right.
They're hearing sound bites. They live on sound bites.
And when they
swallow crap and eat crap.
And when they do go to a site, they're just looking for confirmation of their bias. And that's what has become really cynical about this is that the media, both Trump and Biden, left and right, all the rest, they have targeted a demographic and they're going to cater to that demographic by confirming their biases and confirming their politics to them. And it doesn't matter what's true or not. I see that so much. I pointed out when I read it, this is one thing, you know, we talk about, Julian Assange, got out, this week. This is an interesting thing. It was reported by Slate News. DNC emails have been scrubbed from WikiLeaks as Julian Assange returns home. Now, that's interesting. I don't expect him, after the ordeal that he's been through, to immediately go on the fight. And, you know, I expect that he's going to take some time off after this stuff. And hopefully, the other thing that we're seeing is how these people like Pompeo and all of these CIA creeps that were there with Trump and his administration are still crowing about how he needs to be executed. So they'll probably wind up killing him. But, you know, it is interesting, I think, to see that even the DNC emails, as much of a hot issue that was, has now been taken off of WikiLeaks. He said when he released that stuff, he said, we know who Hillary Clinton is. We know she's a criminal. We know she's a warmonger. He said, we don't know who Trump is. Well, now we do know who Trump is. So maybe that's why they took him off. What do you think?
I don't know. Yeah. Like Trump bragging about how what he did to Iran.
Yeah.
What has Iran done? Again, that's how I became a trend forecaster, by the way. I wrote it in my book, Trend Tracking, Far Better Than Megatrends, Time Magazine. That's when I became a political atheist, when the Iranian conflict broke out. Yeah. And they taught us to hate Iran. People having no idea the United States and the UK's overthrow of the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in 1953, because that lousy SOB had the nerve to say, the oil in Iran does not belong to Anglo-Iranian Oil, better known today as BP, or Standard Oil, better known today as ExxonMobil. Mm-hmm. So they had no idea of the overthrow, and the Savak, the secret police, made the SS look good under the Shah, and on and on. So when that started to happen, that's when I became a trend forecaster, and I started playing the gold and oil markets, saying, you know, gold and oil are going to go up. While everybody, all they did was think about hating Iran.
Yeah.
Just like they taught us to hate Russia all our lives, had us hiding on the desks. Case an atom bomb went off.
Yeah. I mentioned before I was in college and we had a bunch of Iranian students who had come over to study engineering. And so I talked to some of them because I'd never seen anybody wearing ski masks. I'd seen a lot of protesters. You know, this was the late 70s. So, you know, from the 60s on, I'd seen a lot of protesters, but nobody wearing ski masks. What's that about? You know, well, they clued me into what was going on with Savak and the fact they were trained by our CIA. It's just absolutely amazing to see that. I've got one comment here. Chops480, thank you. Says the most important elections in reality is local elections. For sheriff, local is the only way to really change anything. Presidential elections are another distraction. I do believe that. I believe that some things that we can't impact at the local level, but we can't really have an impact on this.
Yeah, but again, the local level, it's the same club. It's the same crime syndicate. And you got to have a lot of dough to run. You don't have money, you can't run. Look what happened to that guy that just lost, that guy Bauman over there in Westchester County, because he called Israel genocide. What were they? $20
million? $23 million. And 14 was spent on the guy who was running. You know, it was basically an election on who's with Israel and who's with the Palestinians is what it was. $23 million, and there was more. And Hillary was with the pro-Israel guy. $14 million is what they spent on their campaign. The other guy had nine. It's ridiculous. And this is for a congressional seat.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The whole system is corrupt. The whole system. Oh, and what did Trump call Biden? A Palestinian or something yesterday? Or how dare you support the Palestinians? And I'm tired of this crap that, you know, oh, we're the chosen people. What God would choose somebody above anybody else? How about all men are created equal? You got that one?
Well, I think that Biden and Trump were created pretty equal. It's a race to the bottom, and unfortunately, we don't have a dog in this fight. We can look at other things that we can do. It's always great talking to you, Daryl Salenti. And again, folks, Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com, and you can use the code NIGHT to save 10% off an excellent publication. As Gerald was saying, that discount, it's about $2 a week, and it's a tremendous amount of information presented in a really professional way as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Gerald. Appreciate it.
And thank you so much for all you do. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, have a good weekend. And folks, thank you and have a good weekend. We thank you so much for your support this week. Very important. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.